about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
When does it start?
This is the pre-entertainment. It's important to set a tone for the audience.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I would like to say thank you, graduates, for that warm welcome. I would also like to apologize to all the parents who are sitting there saying, Will Ferrell, why Will Ferrell? I hate Will Ferrell. I hate him. I hate his movies. He's gross. Although he's much better looking in person. Has he lost weight? By the way, that discussion is happening out there right now.
And now.
What I like about you too, it's not clear who's the top.
Our feature presentation.
That's great. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Monday, the 22nd of May.
Hey, kids.
Hey, Bean.
Hey, Bean.
How was Twin Peaks, you guys?
Why are you still here?
I know.
What's happening?
It wasn't. I didn't. Right? It's not. I'm not. Come on.
Okay.
How come?
Because the man is making me.
Oh.
Because apparently the man wants to have a word.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's never good. It's never good when the man wants to have you at his office. That's for sure.
There's only one thing worse than that, and that's being another person in that meeting when Bean starts asking questions.
And by questions, 5, 6, 7.
Yes, how? 100. Yeah. 5, 6, 700.
100.
Yeah.
I am a curious person.
Right.
A lot of questions about a lot of things.
When there's a room and there's a bunch of people in that room.
Incredibly relevant questions that affect the future for all of us.
Okay.
I think.
I do love that the last time we were in there, Kevin started a stopwatch. That was my favorite meeting I've ever had.
Because he said 10 minutes.
Yes.
And I said, your 10 minutes or our 10 minutes? Because his 10 minutes means forever.
Right.
Right.
It could be till we die.
Right. Yeah, it's the annual Musica meeting.
Excellent.
Is what it is. So we'll see if we come out still playing rock records. So, hey, speaking of having a lot of questions.
Yes.
I have a very, very poorly written article in front of me.
What a surprise.
That really tells me very little of what I need to know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to run it by you and let's see if we can put the pieces together. It's out of Athens, Georgia. The man had known a woman for years.
Uh-oh.
But they had recently began communicating with each other on a more personal level. Why the face?
I thought it was starting off sickle and neighbor. That's that first sentence. Oh, no. I was like, oh no.
I'm thinking there's some kind of family relation here.
Oh, I see. Because
wow,
it's Georgia, they have to be related. Is that what you're thinking?
I'm just saying you're talking about two people that are getting a little more personal.
Oh.
Right. Right.
So they recently have been communicating with each other at a more personal level through Facebook. She contacted him. And by the way, did we ever figure out what the word was for the highest of highs to the lowest of lows? Like you're riding the wave of your life and things couldn't be going any better. And 1 second later, things couldn't be going any worse. It turned out somebody came up with an actual word that means that thing. But we are fascinated with stories where that happens.
Like an emotional roller coaster.
Like that, yes.
Okay.
But one word.
There is one word, yes.
Emotional roller coaster.
So she contacts him on Thursday and says, hey, why don't you come over and we'll have sex?
Okay. Oh.
They're not related. I'm telling you up front that's not where this goes.
All right.
All right, there's no, that's not
we'll
the
We'll be
thing.
The judge of that.
All right. So he's got to be thinking, hell yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she said, come, it's time, let's have sex. Come alone. I don't want anyone to know about this because apparently she was married.
Oh.
To her brother.
No.
Okay.
Cue the music.
So he shows up around midnight. They chat for a while.
Mm-hmm.
She takes him upstairs to the bedroom. And then after she has him ensconced in the bed, she opens up the closet.
A sickle? Is this where the sickle comes in?
Maybe an Indian man with a sickle. No. And a man comes out dressed in all black, wearing a mask, who points a pistol at the guy and demands money.
Oh, my.
So the whole thing, no.
Right? And then?
No, none of that.
What?
Nope.
Yeah. They were role-playing.
No, threesome with a gun.
No, there's no sex happening at all. There was never going to be any sex. The entire thing was a ruse to rob him. So, again, guy's in bed going, I can't believe it. She's 24, and she just invited me over out of the blue to come have sex, and now I've got a dude in a mask holding a gun to my head.
Yeah, that seems bad.
Yeah, this is not what he was.
Bad turn.
This is not a success.
Mm-mm.
So the victim claimed he had no money, but then the girl took off his pants and underwear and left with them. So left him in her house with no pants. Now, I don't know why that was necessary.
Humiliation, maybe.
Really? Just to say you're a dumbass, this is what you get for thinking I would have sex with you? See, I need to know more.
I feel it. Yeah, I've seen that on Dateline.
You've seen everything on Dateline. Yeah.
So the guy in the mask took the victim's cell phone, and they left him in her house.
Well, that was a dumb move.
Super dumb move. So he calls 911, and the police arrive, and they found his clothing outside in the yard. Why? Don't know.
So wait, so she... The woman was married, right?
Yes.
So maybe she tied him up and left him in the house so her husband would find him.
You don't think it was the husband that jumped out of the closet? They were in cahoots together?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, so far, by the way, even though they know where the lady lives, apparently they haven't, at least according to this article from this paper, they haven't found her yet. So I don't know.
What?
I know. This is very sketchy. And no, none of that.
I think.
When does that come into play?
I think you're going to have to allow this.
None of that had happened.
There's so many unanswered questions. It's possible.
Police had not obtained any warrants as of Friday afternoon. So there you go. So that's it. We may need to revisit that phone topic, though, of high to low, because I am fascinated with that. And the story that guy has to tell to his friends. So you're never going to believe what happened to me Friday night.
I don't know that I would even admit it. I think I would just come up with something else.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin Bean Show, shall we?
Hate the game, not the player. You get it.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Holy moly.
Oh.
He's on the show today. He's written a book called Coach Wooden and Me. We have Hasan Minhaj, Nicki's brother.
No. I don't. They're not.
What?
They're not related.
Oh. He's a comedian. We've got him in studio. Very excited about that.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Just sound like something you were kind of saying. I just wondered if it was true. Because I am actually very excited about him. I think he's very, very clever.
Well, why are you questioning whether I'm excited
or not? Because he just doesn't seem like the kind of guest you, the monkey, would be excited about.
What's happening?
Because he's funny and smart?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And he's newsy.
That's how it's going to go today.
No, he's newsy, though, you
That's
know?
That's how it's going to go
Kevin
today.
Doesn't watch the news because he's a kid, and this guy, he's a journalist/comedian.
Okay.
Just didn't seem like he'd be in Kevin's wheelhouse. But I think he's going to be a lot of fun.
How much time are you going to spend questioning whether I'm excited about a guest
well,
or not?
Well, you asked whether I was... All right, go ahead.
I didn't ask anything. I said I'm excited. You said, are you?
Yeah, I think you're just saying that. I think you hate him.
Oh, my God.
I think you're going to walk out in protest when he shows up.
Walk out now.
You're going to pence him.
I need to walk out now. Highlights of the Weenie Roast. We've got some interviews for you. Andrew McMahon, Lord.
You excited about that?
No, not at all.
She was delightful.
According to Bean. We're going to talk about people who marry themselves. That's a thing.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm. We have your tickets for Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. Screening of that, and we've got the Bachelorette Fantasy Draft on today's Kevin and Bean Show, which I'm not that excited about, Bean, to be honest.
Okay, all right, at least you're being honest now.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with the showbiz beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
I was doing Biggs.
Ow!
You're the only person I know who saw it last night.
What's wrong with people then?
Well, I haven't been
Why
in contact.
Why weren't they walking? Why weren't they watching?
In contact with a lot of people since it aired just last night. So I'm asking you, as the first person I've spoken to,
I'm saying, what's wrong with them not watching last night?
I don't know. I didn't watch last night.
Well,
I wanted
What's
to.
Wrong with you, then?
I, A, didn't have showtime in the hotel.
B, Bean was asleep by 4:30.
And B, was very busy doing other things. But how was it?
Oh, dear. Not those things.
Come on.
It was, I tweeted last night that... I didn't understand an effing thing about it. And I loved it.
Oh.
That was true of the original. You had no idea what was going on.
So I think either it said... See, and here's... I beg to differ.
Okay.
I beg to differ.
All right.
Because the original, if you remember correctly, started off as a very basic, sort of straightforward murder mystery.
Right.
It was a girl washes up, wrapped in cellophane. They find out who she is. The town, this little small town, gets turned on its head. The FBI comes in to investigate. And then slowly it started to lose its mind.
Oh, I see. When did the backwards talking guy come in?
Oh, late.
That was mid the first season where all that started. The Black Lodge and all that thing started to happen. And then the second season was just completely bonkers, and the movie was even further out there. This thing starts out of the gate as just effing nuts.
Huh.
There's a tree with a brain that's talking.
All right.
It's the greatest fever dream you've ever seen. I'm just loving it.
Now, will that sustain if it continues in that vein, or do you need it at some point to start getting some cohesion and tell a story?
I get the sense that it's going to be the reverse dynamic from the first season, which is it's throwing all this madness at you. And then I think slowly, it even started to happen sort of towards the tail end of the second episode. They showed 1 and 2 last night, 3 and 4 next week. It's starting to fall into place where you see how the things are sort of interconnected. Right. So
big thumbs up from the Garman.
I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. Well, I'm just a huge fan of his. And he is a uniquely committed and dedicated artist, if you can use that word. And I think in his case you can, where he is just, he's doing his thing. And he doesn't do it to make you happy or to try to garner attention or ratings or money or anything. He just does his thing. And either you're on board with that or you're not. And I was completely on board last night.
He's awesome. Crazy in the best way, I think.
Absolutely, yes. And fully committed and just realizes his own unique vision, unlike a lot of other people. And it's fascinating. I think his work is always fascinating. But on top of that, you get to see the return of Kyle MacLachlan and Matchkin Amick. And, they dropped in almost all of your favorite characters you saw come back. You know, Kimmy Robertson, who is the receptionist.
Love
at the sheriff's station. And remember Hawk, the deputy sheriff, he returns.
What years was that on originally?
It was 25 years ago, so 1992?
Yeah. Wow. Oh, very exciting.
Anyway.
Can't wait to see it. Well, thank you.
I didn't plan to go into a deep dive and review of that, but I was just so excited, and I was not disappointed by it last night.
Fantastic.
So
awesome. All right, couple minutes till 6 o'clock. What else going on?
Of course, it's Monday morning, so we're looking at the top 10 movies at the box office. Alien Covenant, as expected, debuted at number 1 over the weekend, but not by what they expected. I think the producers were expecting a bigger opening weekend for this film. Only made $36 million this weekend, which is a lot of money, don't get me wrong. But the movie cost over $100 million to make, so everything has to be sort of measured against that. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, in fact, almost took the number one slot. They were neck and neck for most of the weekend. Came in with $35.1 million, making it number 2. Everything, right?
Right.
It's the story of the girl who's allergic,
mm-hmm.
and she can't go outside of her house.
Heard that.
Yeah.
From a guy.
You don't think you heard it the first time we talked about it on Friday.
For sure.
That means she can't leave her house because she's allergic to everything.
You don't get it, man.
You don't get it. That film debuted with $12 million, making it number 3. Snatched, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul, and its debut was $7.2 million. King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, was 6th. The Fate of the Furious, The Boss Baby, Beauty and the Beast, and How to Be a Latin Lover were your top 10 films at the box office. Today's celebrity birthdays, singer Morrissey is 58 years old today.
Aww.
Oh, is he going to party? I can imagine a Morrissey birthday party just goes off. Get one of those black cakes with no candles, no light whatsoever.
And it better be vegan.
Oh, just, and it sits there and they all just sit around and kind of look at it.
And wait to
then
die.
Then you hear one lone in the background hear this. Like one noisemaker.
It's just him by himself.
Yeah, exactly. Naomi Campbell's 47 years old today. Jennifer Goodwin from the storybook show.
Once Upon a Time?
Yeah. 39 years old. Maggie Q, Kevin's girlfriend, is 38. Wrestler Daniel Bryan is 36 years old. And well, what's wrong with you?
Which Falcon?
No.
Oh. Which Clipper?
It's even worse.
Oh.
It's a Patriot.
What?
Oh, boo.
New England Patriots Julian Edelman celebrates his 31st
birthday. Happy birthday, Julian.
Today.
You're the greatest.
I'm Yay. Sure he's listening.
He is. I told him we'd wish him a happy birthday.
Ralph Garner, I walk the showbiz beat.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. In minutes, we got Disneyland tickets for you today. Wonder Woman tickets. and so much more coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, I don't know if you guys know, remember this or not, but Saturday was the Weenie Roast out at StubHub Center.
This past Saturday?
This past Saturday, yeah.
What?
Yeah, and thanks to everybody who bought tickets and came out and helped us raise a lot of money once again for great charities, the Surf Rider Foundation and Heal the Bay. And it was, I would have to say it was a success.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would have to say it was a success. And it was our first time at StubHub, and I really liked that venue. Didn't you guys?
Yeah, there's not a bad seat in the house. I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and there were so many highlights, and we'll talk about it more later and include your phone calls and whatnot. But there were so many highlights, and our artists are so talented. There was so yeah. much good music.
Yeah.
Really. And the Soundgarden tribute, you know, a lot of people wondered if somebody was going to make some sort of right. mention of Chris Cornell. Was unexpected for me. I didn't see it coming. But Incubus is on stage, and they bring out Matt Schultz from Cage the Elephant, and together they sing Black Hole Sun, and yeah. it was beautiful.
Brandon Boyd's voice for that was perfect, mm-hmm. and I never put that together. I never thought anyone could really pull off a Chris Cornell tribute where you're like, that was amazing. And it was.
And they weren't just doing it to do it because they thought they should. They were doing it because they were both so profoundly, both yeah. bands, so profoundly influenced by Soundgarden. I mean, Brandon has said there may not even be an Incubus if there hadn't been a yeah. Soundgarden, because that's how important that group was.
He's one of the two or three people that made him want to sing.
Yeah. yeah. But the only and Cage the Elephant was so great, and they rocked harder than anybody
they
all
were
day.
So good.
But I was confused why Beer Mug wasn't on stage with his band.
Right. I mean, I thought Beer Mug was basically the front guy. The
I
front
thought so
man.
Too, because it, to watch Mug. It seemed yeah. like he thought he was in the group.
What yeah. are you talking about?
Mugs. What happened when they came off the stage and we were supposed to go out and introduce Imagine Dragons? What happened there?
How did you end up in all of their laps?
Just hugging and like kissing and yeah, dude.
High five.
What was happening?
Well, first of all, do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Okay.
And I saw my good friend Brad Schultz of Cage the Elephant.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And he had just got off stage, uh-huh. adrenaline rock, and I just wanted to congratulate him on such a good set.
Sure.
And he touched my face. He gave me a hug.
Yeah. It was strange.
Yeah,
it was a good time. And, yeah. then, okay. and then I saw Matthew come on, mm-hmm. come off shortly after Brad.
Right.
Said hi to Matthew. I don't know uh-huh. Matthew that well. We're not okay. that tight. But okay. Brad and I.
Because he won his job.
We boys.
Okay.
We boys.
Okay.
It seemed like you were part of the group, or thought you were. Like you right. were going from member to member congratulating each other on a great set.
Right. right. Well, not many people know this, but we did grow up together in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
I did not know that.
Yes.
No, that's odd.
I was just ready to see you get on the tour bus and leave. And I thought, well, I guess that's it. I guess Muggs is on tour now.
Now that you bring it up, I do remember thinking, what's happening over there? Why is he? What's.
Like every member of the group came off and was like, yeah, dude. Yeah. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen, and it brought me so much joy.
It wasn't a 5-second, hey, great job, high five.
No.
It was
no.
full
we,
on.
It was, we got a lot of catching up to yeah, do, my right. brother.
It was amazing.
So weird.
I just bet their telling of that story was so different.
Very
which is,
different.
We got off stage and this weird dude came
Who
up and started
that
hugging
dude,
us.
Right?
He had an American flag onesie on. I'm not sure exactly what was happening.
So good.
Speaking of people that we were excited to see, I love that we get to talk to Andrew McMahon whenever he plays one of our shows.
Same.
He is so unbelievably talented, and he is having some kind of year, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is.
He told us about two things that had happened to him in 2017 that have kind of made his career next level. This is Andrew McMahon in the wilderness. This is us shortly before he went on stage at the Weenie Roast on Saturday.
And he is just sitting down to talk to us, and he tells B. something about what happened, and then so what you're going to hear is a little bit just before we start doing the interview, and Bean saying, "I think we need to talk about this," and him saying, "I'll talk about this," and then so then it went
don't
from
want
there.
To talk about that. I don't care. I'll talk about. Okay. That. Well, they probably don't want me to talk about it.
But... Oh, I am. I care about nothing else but that.
It's so good to be here.
I feel like it was 5 minutes ago we saw you at Acoustic Christmas, and now it's the middle of the summer.
I'm still wearing the free glasses that were in the gift bags in
oh,
the back
the
from Acoustic
bag.
Christmas. Yeah.
There were gift bags?
They're apparently. Yeah.
So here's how Andrew rolls, you guys. He was in Alabama yesterday playing at the Hangout Festival. Super fun, right?
It was amazing. It's a crazy festival.
And then you did what? You hitchhiked home?
I hitchhiked on the Weezer plane.
Come on. He came came back on the Weezer plane.
It was amazing.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know. I want to go on the Weezer plane.
I've been sort of manifesting this, like, I want to fly on a private jet thing for a few years now.
Sure.
And then I ran into those dudes backstage, and I heard that they were flying home. So I sort of secretly kind of planted seeds throughout the festival that I was looking for a ride. And
it wasn't set up. That wasn't.
No. I found out while I was on stage. My manager rolled over. He's like, I got you a seat on the plane.
So tell us about the rock star debauchery that goes on the Weezer plane. And first of all, do they have their logo like painted on the side of the plane?
It was just a rental because I think they had to do a bunch of fly festival stuff.
Is there food?
There was food.
Yeah.
It was good.
Was it good?
It was good. It's a good. I wish I could do this every day.
I wish I could do it once.
It's an aspirational thing. No, I drank way too much wine. That was my.
Obviously they have FAA rules, but you could get up while the seatbelt sign was on if you wanted. Like, who's going to stop you? Right.
It's true. But I wore my seatbelt like a good boy.
Did you use the toilet when you weren't supposed to?
No.
Did you have your laptop out when they told you not to?
What kind of a rebel do you think he is?
Go for it.
It was I really just drank too much wine. I was like, I got drunk by the end. I was like, I made Rivers a mixtape.
Any yakking?
No, okay. Thank God. No, but this morning was hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're talking to Andrew McMahon here on the Kevin Bean Show. He is kind enough to be playing the K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2017 this afternoon. We're so stoked about it. And I have to ask you about this because this happened since the last time we saw you.
Okay.
You get a phone call from your manager and he says, how would you feel about opening up for whom?
Billy Joel.
And that does what to 10-year-old Andrew McMahon?
Oh, dude, for me, Billy was like, that was my. I started playing piano when I was 9. My parents immediately gave me the Greatest Hits, Volume 1 and 2, and it was like my Bible for the first, 4 or 5 years. It was the first show I ever saw. So I got a phone call to open for Billy Joel in the same city where I saw him play at my very first concert.
And you said, I don't know.
I'll think about it.
Is there a private jet?
No. I think that's a one-time thing. Yeah.
So 10-year-old Andrew McMahon goes to his first concert in Cleveland, and it's Billy Joel, and then you get a chance to open for him in Cleveland, and that's the most unbelievable rock and roll symmetry I can imagine.
It's incredible. And we did one already. We did one in Atlanta, and then we're doing one in Cleveland, and we're playing in like Lambeau Field where the Packers play.
Following you on Instagram and different social media, you were so excited.
Oh yeah, I was like, yeah,
you were just out of your mind.
My whole, if you look at my whole feed, I was like reading it. It's like, it's just me being like, so thankful. you guys know, we've been doing this a long time, you know. And so to get opportunities like this so far down the road after having a few bands, and I walk around. I'm like a one man gratitude express.
It's so wonderful.
Now,
did you the one show that you guys did? Did you get to go on stage with them?
No.
But that might still happen.
I would never assume as much, but I definitely was in the crowd with my wife and my daughter, and we were having a dance party in the field.
How's that for a benefit of your job, which is getting to watch free Billy Joel concerts?
Yeah, no, I have the best job in the world. I say it often, and I mean it. Yeah, it's pretty rad.
All right, last question because we're almost out of time. You are so famous for wading out into the audience and stage diving and taking the duck around the arena.
Yeah.
What do you have to change up when you're playing a venue like this outdoors?
I brought an inflatable monster truck today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
But here's the deal. This is the festivals can be scary. It rode well yesterday at Hangout Fest. We brought it with us. So please don't drop me, I guess, will be my only request. Yeah.
Well, we're super psyched to see you again this afternoon. If you haven't bought or streamed this man's album, you're no friend of mine.
Agreed.
No friend of mine, seriously. And
please
check
do.
Out the new video for So Close, which is one of my favorites of the year, too, because I love Space, too.
Thank you.
Andrew, you're the best, man. Great to see you.
Good to see you guys.
Have fun.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
So, a couple of follow-up questions. So, Rockstar Debauchery?
Yes.
You put that together with Weezer on a plane?
Yes.
Those guys seem like the kind of guys that are going to get debaucherous,
is that a word? You never know, man.
And then did you get up when you were supposed to have your seatbelt on? Like,
I think that
goes
hand in hand with debauchery.
That's the kind of debauchery I'm talking
about.
Is that
your idea of crazy debauchery?
Yes.
And did you use the bathroom when you weren't supposed to?
Yes, because
private... And he just kept saying, I just had wine. Right. I just had wine.
Did you have your laptop out when you weren't supposed
to? Man. No rules.
I'm saying dream bigger with your no rules.
We did also
talk to Lord on Saturday night, and we'll have that interview for you in just a few minutes, too. Thanks again to everybody who came out to the Weenie Roast. This is K-Rock. Our interview with Lord from Saturday night at the K-Rock Weenie Roast coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. The great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on the program today, and Hasan Minhaj also from The Daily Show. That's all coming up. First, though, I think Monday means, as you know, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
What's crack-a-latin'?
Nope.
No. Let's start over.
Nope. Let's start again. Sorry.
Take two.
Harvey, sorry.
I'm not allowed to say what's crackling, apparently, Harvey.
No, that's what just happened. I actually kind of like it.
Thank you.
Harvey.
Us old white guys have to stick together. Thank you, Harvey. Hey, listen. I love the site today because you have two stories up that I am fascinated with that I know you're going to keep me abreast of. Why don't we start with the robberies? Because this is crazy. I've been thinking about this. Why hasn't this always happened that you follow your celebrity on social media, know when they're out of town, and then rob their house? It seems like it's happening every other day now.
Well, I mean, it has happened in the past, but I think this is complicated. There is a rash of burglaries in the L.A. area, and it's complicated as to why, but it has to do with certain prison release issues, and it's happening to a lot of people, so don't just think it's celebrities. But if you really want to strike it big, and you go online and you see ASAP Rocky, for example, is counting, you know, untold amounts of money, and you know that he's not in his home because he's posting where he is,
right?
It doesn't take a lot to connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
Nor Alanis Morissette when she's showing her and flaunting her jewelry, you know. And
look,
Scott Disick is the king of, you know, look how rich I am. And Scott Disick was in Las Vegas this weekend celebrating his birthday, getting money for a paid gig at One Oak. So at about midnight, people are posting pictures of Scott Disick at the club in Vegas. And at about 1 o'clock in the morning, somebody hits his home, and they break through a glass door.
Would have been funny if they were posting pictures of themselves in his house at the same time.
Okay, hey, guys, listen, that is going to happen.
Oh, no,
somebody will be audacious enough to do that. Absolutely. Absolutely. So they ransack the house some. We don't know how much. Take something. We don't know what yet. Remember, exactly a year ago, Scott Disick had his watches stolen, really expensive watches. So this was the anniversary, and somebody hit his house. Cops came. And this is the other thing. Number one, it's a gated community, and we keep hearing now about these gated communities, and people are getting inside these gated communities. So how is that happening, number one?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, there was a burglar alarm, we're told, but we called neighbors, and they said, well, we didn't hear anything. So here's the problem.
So one of those silent alarms that
you're supposed to just bring the police or something?
Because the neighbors don't want to be bothered by burglar alarms in the middle of the night, so they're silent. But if they were loud, maybe somebody would have peeked out the window.
Yeah, but it's Scott Disick. Do you want to be bothered by him?
Fair point.
Do the police think that this is a small group of people that's hitting these? They think it's copycatting, right?
They just think, look, there are a lot of burglars out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I don't know that they know if one person's hitting multiple homes. Maybe they are. I just know that when you look at the list of, you know, Kendall Jenner, Alanis Morissette, ASAP Rocky, and on and on.
Emmy Rossum, Jamie Presley, Michael B. Jordan. That made me sad because he seems like such a great dude.
Well, you don't. I mean,
the other ones are fine because Bean doesn't like them.
No, I'm just saying.
How do you think robberies work, Bean?
That he deserves to be. That certain people deserve.
No,
to be
I'm not saying that at all. But I'm
that's
saying
what you were saying 100%.
No, what I'm saying is, I don't think he's the kind of guy who's putting up Instagram photos of him with $1.5 million in jewelry. You know, he's not inviting it like some of the others maybe are.
Wow, victim blaming.
Heavy.
Oof. All right, I'm a bad person. I'm sorry.
That's correct.
All right, the other story that I'm
buy into that.
The other story, no argument from Harvey on that one. The other story that I've been dying to talk to you in particular about, Harvey, because a lot of people don't know this, Harvey's a lawyer. How do you get an impartial jury when Bill Cosby's headlines have been in everyone's face for the last 2 years?
Okay, so can I answer that by throwing another question back at you?
Certainly.
Doesn't seem like it'll be helpful, but go ahead.
Oh, it will be helpful.
Okay, good.
When did a lawyer ever want an impartial jury?
Well, of course, but the defendant is entitled to one under the Constitution.
I know, but neither side wants an impartial jury. Everybody wants – it's such a myth. I mean, everybody wants a jury that is that tends to be sympathetic to you.
Right.
What you don't want is somebody who's already made their mind up. But look, when you do jury selection, I mean, when you guys – I mean, look, the famous one, you watched O.J. Simpson.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You saw the chess game there. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants a jury that is not impartial. They want a jury that – leans more toward your case.
Okay.
And prosecutors do that and defense lawyers do that. But, you know, how are they going to find somebody? Look, they found it in well, I mean, maybe they
did
didn't find it. Yeah, maybe not. But no, but here's the thing. You can find, I think this whole thing about media, well, okay, I will answer that. That, you know, did they find an impartial jury with O.J. Simpson? Well, if you look at the first 4 days of O.J. Simpson, it was signed, sealed, and delivered that he was a murderer. I mean, there, you know, we were reporting, because I was a local reporter in L.A., and we were reporting blood that went from the crime victims into his bathroom.
Right.
We were reporting the cut in his hand, mm-hmm. things he said to police. We had the whole story.
All the obvious evidence, yes.
Right. And yet, he was found not guilty.
Yeah.
So, you know, this whole idea that pretrial publicity makes it impossible for a defendant to get a fair trial, I think is ridiculous.
It's just with the Cosby. Yeah, your point is well taken. Obviously,
thank you. Even though you thought that it was going to be lousy at the beginning.
No.
I did. That was me.
No,
Kevin.
But I mean,
sorry about that.
But look, Cosby, and the reason I bring this up now for folks who don't know is they're trying to impanel a jury right now, and they decided not to look for one in Philadelphia, his hometown, to go down the highway to Pittsburgh to get one.
Right.
Like they don't have the internet. But I mean, even
right, exactly.
Yes, but exactly. even though there's only supposed to be in evidence this one lady's story, how do you find someone who hasn't heard about the other 50 women? And I don't know how you find anyone who isn't at this point pretty positive that he did it.
But again, you know, look at O.J. Simpson.
Okay.
Look at the cops in Rodney King in Simi Valley.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look,
that's a myth, I guess, huh?
Look, the prosecution in the Cosby case wanted to call 13 other women to prove an M.O. The judge is allowing one woman to testify, one other woman.
Okay.
That could be really powerful.
Right.
But, you know, look, that it is what it is, and I agree with you. It's like, really, you're moving the case from one city to another? Philadelphia is not the point. You know, Andrea Constant is the issue in Philadelphia because of Temple University. The issue is not Temple University. The issue is Bill Cosby.
Right.
And Bill Cosby was just as famous in Philly as he is in Pittsburgh.
Exactly.
So I don't really understand the whole idea of moving because I don't see what you gain.
All right. Fair enough. Harvey Levin, our good friend at TMZ.com, we urge you to watch him all over Channel 11, the OG TMZ show, of course, and then TMZ Live airing at 4 o'clock, TMZ Sports Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Great chat, Harvey. We'll do it again next time. Thanks.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
Thank Bye-bye. You. Hey, if you want to see Wonder Woman, and who doesn't?
Wonder Woman!
Who doesn't at this point, by the way? We got tickets you can win coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. See the thing before it opens. That's on the way. Also, Disneyland Park tickets as well. We promised we'd play the Lord interview for you, and we will, from Saturday night, just before she went on stage to headline the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta. And by the way, who's cooler than Lord?
No one.
I mean...
And with all that sound trouble,
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say this. She had a lot of sound trouble, and she was walking around the stage sort of not knowing what to do, just talking to the audience, and she handled it so incredibly well. I felt so bad for her.
And
I don't know whose fault it was. I don't know if it was our people, her people, sound people. I don't know. But there was a lot of trouble, and she really came through.
The power went out for folks who weren't there, and we hadn't had that problem all day long, but it was just right near the beginning of her set. And you're right. She handled it so – I mean, she just has such – calm and cool presence. Yeah. And I don't know how she does it at 20 years old. She's incredible. But before we hear the interview, Omar.
Yeah.
You got something going on with Lord?
Yeah. Are you guys not part of Lord's squad now?
I'm sorry, what?
You guys aren't part of Lord's squad?
I'm sorry?
No?
Not that I'm aware of.
Apparently neither am I.
Oh.
But I do get a bunch of... So during that little sound trouble, I'm a huge fan of Lord. This is my first time I actually got to see her.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I've always been working or doing something, you know, when she's in an event. So I was rocking out when she first started her first song, and then sound trouble came. So I was like, I need to go take a whiz. So we got these fancy passes, right, that take us to the backstage area.
Right
by the stage. So I take a quick tinkle, and I'm there. She's, you know, still having sound trouble, and I'm like, the only person there. There's no security or anybody.
You mean you're on the side of the stage?
Right, yeah. Right on the side of the stage. So I'm like, well, you know, I love Lauren. Let me go see what's happening. So
no.
No. So I start walking up the stage, and Lord is like maybe, I don't know, 30 feet from me. I'm like right by the soundboard, okay?
Why didn't you walk out and start a little banter?
I should have, right? So I'm like, this is awesome. This is so cool. She finishes her set. And I have my baby girl's T-ball closing ceremony the following day, so I need to get back to the hotel.
Right.
So I'm there kind of just chilling, watching Lord and her people walk out. And I overhear, it's like, hey, we have some shuttles waiting for us. So I was like, oh, this is cool. I'll just hitch a ride with Lord and hop on one of these shuttles.
You thought she was just going to leave after one song?
No, this is after.
Okay, sorry, my bad.
Here's my favorite thing, though. My favorite thing is he needs to get away,
yeah.
And then he watches Lord finish her entire set and leave.
Totally, So I was like, oh, I hitch a ride with Lord, because it's not uncommon for us to, you know, travel back to the hotel with the talent, right? It
sometimes
happens, right?
Yeah.
Exactly, right? So I'm like, oh, this is perfect. So I walk up with her entourage or her squad or whatever. So I'm walking up, and then Lord hops in one shuttle. She's like, and this guy was like, okay, this shuttle's full. Hop on the next one. I was like, all right, cool, man. So I get on the next one, and I'm there, and we start taking off, right? So we're like, oh, this is the best. I don't have to wait, because sometimes that line for the shuttle is a nightmare.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't have to wait. I'm going to get plenty of sleep for tomorrow morning. And I overhear one of these people saying, oh, we're going to make great time. We're going to get to the airport right on time.
Oh, no!
So
we're going to LAX?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like,
Omar lives very, very far from there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, did you say airport? And this guy gives me a look like it's not registering with him because...
Like, who are you?
Exactly. Because he knows everyone
and now
else.
He's thinking, how did he get on?
Exactly. Yeah. And then I'm like... That's not really important who I am.
Did they let you off?
So I'm like, yeah, do you mind pulling over? I think I'm on the wrong shuttle.
Oh, my.
So yeah, they just open the doors and I get off. But
Oh my God.
For a little bit. I was part of her squad. I'm pretty sure we're best friends now.
I'm not positive you're part of a posse.
We're besties now.
I'm not sure.
Oh my.
That is fantastic, yeah. Omar. And so was Lord, by the way. And so wonderful. And we had so much fun with her just backstage, as I mentioned, right before she went on. Here it goes. We're backstage here at the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Rosie Fiesta 2017. Hey, Lord.
Hello, how you doing?
What's going on?
Not too much. I'm excited to go and play Weenie Roast.
I've
never said the word weenie more than today and yesterday.
How does it feel to re-emerge from your cocoon from the years that you were away from the public eye and kind of be back in the thing and doing the thing?
It feels amazing to be doing the thing. It's been a long time. You know, 3 years is a long time in anyone's life. But it feels good, and I feel glad that I took the amount of time that I did to really make sure I was, you know, wanting to come back and felt like I had this kind of canon to bring back. So, yeah.
Tell me about playing Coachella after not playing for so long.
Oh, man. That was our first show pretty much back after, 2.5 years. And it was amazing. People were so, like, supportive and warm. And, you know, Coachella crowds are known to be a little bit, like, cool. But they were so welcoming. It was amazing.
Your dancing at Coachella was next level.
Famous dancing.
Your famous dancing. And I mean that in a nice way, in that nobody else dances like you.
This is true.
And it's so different from how you started out. And is it a conscious decision, or is it just something that just evolved as you feel the music in a different way, or what?
I don't know if it is a conscious decision. I think that I've always just, like, my movement on stage is just super instinctive and intuitive and, you know, terrible. I mean, it's like terrible dancing, but
no.
I kind of think that's what's cool about it. Like, that's how everyone looks when they're just, like, really, like, dancing to something they love, you know. But no, it wasn't a conscious thing.
I got to tell you, I have daughters, and I love using you as an example of somebody who you don't try to make your dancing like anyone else's. You're proud of being you, and I really love that.
Thank you. That's very kind.
Let's talk about Melodrama for a minute. June 16th.
Yes.
Long-awaited new record from Lord. As you mentioned, you had several years away. You did some growing up. It was a time of everyone's life where a lot of things changed. You had your heart broken. It's a really personal record, right? In a lot of ways.
It is. It's full on. And the way I describe it is vivid. It's very vivid. It's like these crazy kind of Technicolor emotions. And I think that, you know, I feel like with my last record, there was an element of kind of, you know, being a little cooler, a little detached. And with this, it's really like, oh, I have just, my cool is so far gone. Like, I'm just going to lose it. And we think it's quite cool to listen to and to watch.
At the very beginning of Green Light, you scare the crap out of me. I just want to say
yes,
that.
Yes, I scare myself also.
Okay, good.
Where'd you shoot the video for that?
We shot it in Koreatown in L.A.
Okay, and are those actual, like, regular people just driving down the street on a night, not realizing that you're there making a video, or was that all
those are regular people? And
really?
Yep. And there was like Grammy week, and there was a crazy Grammy party going on around the corner, and I just had to do this crazy dancing next to all these
you're hanging
Grammy
out of car
goers.
Windows like shaking
I was
and dancing
fully
in the,
hanging
in the
out
street
of, with both my hands kind of like down. It was a real undertaking. I had a very sore neck the next day. My neck was like, I was like, this is why you don't do this. It really gets
you. I just
you
assumed it
neck.
Had to be a close set because there's no way you can do that in live traffic.
I'm just very fearless.
That's unbelievable.
Thank you.
You had time away, as we've mentioned. Did you take advantage of that to do anything that you'd always wanted to do now that you were in a position where you kind of could?
I mean, honestly, I feel like because I bought a house in New Zealand, and which is amazing. I feel so lucky to have been able to do that. But I like the stuff that I was doing, I was like, I made an awesome cake in my own house. And I was like,
she made a cake.
I roasted some sick tomatoes. Like, I was
so
like,
we
you know,
didn't
doing boring
see
stuff.
You in concert because you were making a cake.
I was making cakes. I was like pickling things.
Okay.
I didn't want to pickling. Like,
right.
Just boring things, but they were very exciting to me.
It helps you rebuild and get ready to go back out.
I think so, yeah.
We're in our final minute with Lord here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Take us through, in your mind, what you anticipate for the rest of 2017. How's it shaking out for you?
Oh, man. It is, we are playing festivals all summer. In the States and in Europe as well. And then we are kind of doing a bunch of touring and just generally kind of being crazy.
Really enjoying that house in New Zealand, aren't you, this year?
Yeah. Next year. Well, late next year, I'll really get to enjoy the house.
If you need somebody to house it, I mean, I'll...
Yes. Okay. I will text you.
Okay, good. Lord, you guys, everybody in here applaud for this young lady headlining the K-Rock Weenie Roast CPS in 2017. So great to see you again after
you
so
too.
Long.
You too.
Bye-bye.
And it is 6:53.
Wonder Woman passes.
Wonder Woman!
In 5 minutes. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning. What's going on?
Oh, my people. My people are ready.
Right?
My geeks. My nerds. Ready. For a little dub-dub, right?
A little dub-dub.
Can't wait to see that. It's very exciting. Speaking of movies, it's a Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Alien Covenant debuted with $36 million, making it number one, which is pretty good. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Seems
not,
like...
Not great.
Oh.
Not great.
But this is the kind of movie that will make a lot of money around the world as well as America, right? They won't lose money on this or anything.
I don't believe so, no. But it's not ideal. They were hoping for more. Guardians of the Galaxy, in fact, Volume 2 almost took the number one slot. It was neck and neck for most of the weekend. Finished just a little short of $36 million with $35 and change, but has made it number two. Everything Everything debuted with $12 million, making it third. Snatched, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul. For the kids, it was number five. King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, The Fate of the Furious, The Boss Baby, Beauty and the Beast, and How to Be a Latin Lover were your top 10 films.
Well, clear those out of the theaters to make room for the Emoji Movie. Am I right?
Man. That is a thing that is happening.
End times.
They made a movie about emojis.
End times.
It's going to be great, right?
It's like making a movie about punctuation. It's just, what?
Just a cash grab. Just brutal. It's like Pet Rock the movie.
Yep.
Hula Hoop the movie. It's like whatever's out there. Make a movie about it. It was the last performance of the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus this weekend.
Yay!
Took place yesterday at Long Island's Nassau Coliseum in New York. The circus began 146 years ago.
Wow.
In 1871, as P.T. Barnum's Grand Traveling Museum Menagerie Caravan and Hippodrome.
Catchy.
Right.
Those are all cool things back in 1871. If you
sure.
can get them all in the same
the
place. I'm going to that. What's a hippodrome?
I don't know what that is.
You son of a bitch.
I didn't realize it made me that bad of a person.
I don't know why I got so angry.
Just a
what's that, Roddy? I'm sorry.
I think he just said that's what it's called.
Oh. Just a performance arena, variety kind of.
It's when a hippo goes on and
no,
on
it's,
with the story.
That's
Drome.
Not
Drome.
Oh.
Hippodrome. Oh. Not drone with an N.
There's a hippodrome in London that's a very famous concert venue still today.
All right.
But the handwriting was on the wall. Times had changed. People didn't really need to see animals in such a setting, and a lot of protests from animal rights groups, et cetera, et cetera. And
I think it was a bad job for an elephant. I really do. I do not think that was Brano for elephants.
Look, it's not. Any animal should be where it belongs in its own environment.
People keeping score at home. Bean says no bueno for the elephant.
So circuses and zoos and what have you are a holdover from another time. Absolutely.
What is a good job for an elephant?
Just being
out of curiosity.
Just being in the Serengeti, I guess. Drinking
just,
water.
Yeah, just be an elephanty.
Like not like CPA or something.
No,
like,
no, no.
Okay,
no, no.
Wasn't sure.
Yeah,
I don't think they should have to work. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Right.
Quitters never give up.
Well, right? there's that.
But the Ringling Brothers did give up, I guess.
They gave up,
yeah. Yeah, they surrendered.
Officially.
But now you could probably get a really good deal on a tiger or something, right? I mean, they're
not sure that's how
are they having an out-of-business, going out-of-business sale?
I don't think
Can I buy a lion? Can I buy me one of them pachyderms? Can I put it in my backyard?
I don't think that's how it works.
Well, it should, because I want me an elephant. I got a good job for an elephant.
I don't think you do.
I don't want
to be my backyard swing. I just want to sit on his trunk on lazy summer days, just have him lull me to sleep as he rocks me back and forth slowly.
That does sound
fun
for you.
That'd be a good job for him.
Elephants need room to move, man.
I'd say, come here, Fanty. I'd call him Fanty.
Fanty.
Fanty the elephant.
Is that a...
I would give him hay and grapes. And he'd be very happy.
I think you need a lot of grapes to fill up an elephant.
What do you know about elephants?
Well, they eat a lot of grapes.
They eat a lot of food.
No, most of it's hay.
Okay.
Grapes are a treat.
They're just a garnish.
You don't know anything. You don't make grapes the main meal.
Okay.
Are you dumb?
Yeah, because that would take a long time.
Right. Ugh. People are the worst. And the final episode of Saturday Night Live for the season was over the weekend. Dwayne The Rock Johnson was the host. Katy Perry was the musical act. And if you saw it, well, then you got introduced to the biggest, the newest big star in the world. What?
I know who you're
Backpack
talking about.
Kid.
And it's hilarious.
It's Backpack Kid.
I don't know Backpack Kid.
Oh, you goddamn son of a bitch.
Oh, my God.
You seem angry about small things today.
I saw Backpack Kid at a hippodrome once.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh.
A great deal of anger inside you. You aware of that?
He's Backpack Kid.
He sure is.
He gets on stage with his backpack.
Right.
And he makes quirky dance moves. America loves him.
And by the way, this, Kevin, this wasn't...
Is this an ongoing sketch?
No. Oh. It wasn't a sketch at all.
It's not a sketch. He's a kid. He's a real kid.
He's an actual kid with a backpack dancing on while Katy Perry was performing. She had a whole bunch of people come out and start dancing behind her.
Oh, I see.
And this kid was just this geek.
Just one of them.
It was just so random and so funny.
He's been an internet sensation for some time. He first went viral back in January of 2016. And he does, he sure has a backpack on.
And dances funny.
Wow.
He sure does. I hope he goes on tour.
That was the highlight of the show, Backpack Kid?
No, it wasn't the highlight.
Just
it was
relax.
Just a mention.
Okay. It's okay.
Just a mention.
Real fun.
Are you telling me to relax?
Shut the hell up!
Right? Right.
What'd you think of The Rock?
I've only seen bits and pieces. Okay. I haven't seen majority of it because some of us, Bean, were at a concert on Saturday night.
I Hulu'd it Sunday morning, man.
Preoccupied.
That's all. The show suggested in their cold open that we may have a new administration by the time they come back in the fall.
I did see that.
They did suggest that.
Yeah. Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Tom Hanks. Johnson Hanks in 2020.
Okay.
How about that?
Seriously?
Can I vote now?
I'd go for that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Morrissey's 58 years old today. Naomi Campbell's 47 years old. Jennifer Goodwin celebrates her 39th birthday. Maggie Q is 38. And the wrestler Daniel Bryan is 36. Is he gooder or better?
He's the yes guy. He's wonderful. He's one of my favorites.
He's the yes guy.
But he's
guy.
Not. Yes, the yes chant.
Oh, the yes chant.
How does the yes chant go, Allie?
Yes. And your hands are in the air.
Oh, you put your hands in the air.
Like you just don't care?
You don't wave them.
That does sound
You
good.
Don't wave them.
No.
That sounds very creative.
You do
so
care.
I'm sorry. I put my hands in the air and I say yes repeatedly?
Yes.
And the backpack kid does that?
No.
I hate all of you.
Backpack kid does this. Backpack kid. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz beat.
All right, Ralph, you ready to give away some Wonder Woman passes
Wonder Woman!
To your people?
Yes.
The movie opens in theaters on June 2nd. You get to see it on the 31st at the Arclight Hollywood.
Uh-oh.
Anything in particular we need for this one?
Yes, you got to know your female DC Comics heroines.
All right.
I guess female heroines is
right.
Redundant. But female DC Comics superheroes.
And they're also ladies, am I right?
Oh, my God.
The female heroines,
they're also ladies?
They're also ladies, yes.
1-800-520-1067. You'll win the Wonder Woman tickets next on K-Rock.
You think that's needed at the end of that song?
Yeah, it's kind of like a cool release.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:09.
All right, let me say this about this. Your mileage may vary on previous DC movies, but everyone seems to be unanimous that this Wonder Woman movie is everything.
It looks great.
Amazing, right?
The early word from people who have seen it, just nothing but positive.
Gal Gadot, Chris Pine, open it up everywhere on June 2nd. You get to see it May 31st at the Arclight in Hollywood right now at 1-800-520-1067. The game is called All the Super Ladies.
All the Super Ladies, 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 all the Super Ladies. Wonder Woman, she's the one doing her wonder thing. And you can see the Super Lady at her movie screening. All the Super Ladies, all the Super Ladies, all the Super Ladies, all the Super Ladies.
Huh. So that was
Dave, the King of Mexico.
Too much Dave is what my review there.
All the Super Ladies, all the Super Ladies.
Got it. All right, so what's going on here, Ralph?
Wonder Woman is the quintessential female superhero, probably the most famous of all the superheroes.
All the Super Ladies, all the Super Ladies.
That are ladies. And I thought it would be fun to take a look at some of the other DC Comics. Of course, that's the world that Wonder Woman comes from. Some of the other DC Comics Super Ladies, who are female...
All the Super Ladies, all the Super Ladies.
Female superheroes may be just as famous or maybe not quite as famous as Wonder Woman.
Okay, sounds
They're
good.
They're all from the DC Universe.
So how many pairs do we have to give away? We have five, right? So we can look for five winners here.
All right. Let's start with Nick in Buena Park. Hi there.
Good morning. How you doing, guys?
We are good.
Hey, Nick, I'm going to ask you a trivia question about a super lady.
All the Super Ladies. All the Super Ladies.
Not at all annoying.
You need to tell me who she is, okay?
All right.
This super lady was sent to Earth before the destruction of her home planet, and her cousin is perhaps the world's greatest superhero. Who is she?
You're talking about Power Girl?
Oh. I'm talking about Supergirl. Sorry, Supergirl.
Yeah.
We're looking for Supergirl.
Supergirl. It's a TV show that's actually on now.
Yeah.
Rob in Long Beach, hi.
Hey,
Rob. Here's your question for you about a super lady.
All the super ladies, all the super ladies.
This super lady has the same backstory as Supergirl, but the difference is she's from Earth 2, and she's known for having some of the best boobs in comics. You know what we're talking about?
Man, I feel bad for that guy before me. That's Power Girl.
That's Power Girl. You're right. Yes. You're absolutely right, Rob.
Nicely done. Hold on.
I want a Power Girl movie now.
Oh, my God.
How are you able just to bring everything to a screeching halt?
Because it sounds like a fascinating character.
Sal in Southgate, hi.
What's up, party people?
We were having fun until 10 seconds ago.
Yeah, you know what? I got a little bit of shivers.
I like you, Sal. I hope you win. This super lady.
All the super ladies. Okay. All the super ladies.
You're going to make me stop saying that. Is a world-class martial artist and also has the superpower of a high-powered sonic scream, which can shatter objects and incapacitate her enemies.
That would be Black Canary.
Black Canary's nice correct. Done. Well done.
All right. Two pairs of tickets already given away for Wonder Woman before it opens in theaters. Who's next?
Justine in Whittier. Hi there.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Hi, Justine. This DC super lady is both a stage magician and an actual magician and controls her magic by speaking the words of her incantations backwards.
I'm going to go with Zatanna.
Zatanna's correct.
Who the hell is Zatanna?
Zatanna is the daughter of Zatara, first of all.
Of course.
And one of the great DC super ladies.
I feel so dumb right now.
You
well,
should.
Well done. All right, let's go to Manny in Santa Ana. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Manny. This super lady.
All the super ladies. All the super ladies.
Is the daughter of the Gotham City Police Commissioner and usually operates alongside her pal Batman.
Batgirl.
Batgirl is correct.
Nicely done. All right, that's four. We got one more pair. All right, let's go to Andrew in La Habra. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, Andrew. Helena Bertinelli is the name of this super lady, the daughter of a mob boss. She became a superhero in an effort to eradicate the mob in Gotham City. Do you know her name?
Yeah, that is Huntress.
Huntress is correct.
Your wow. people are unbelievable, Ralph.
Yeah. Awesome today.
Your people are unbelievable. Hey, go see Wonder Woman, everybody. June 2nd. It looks awesome. Thanks to everybody for playing the game. All the single superheroes.
Nope. Holy crap. Oh, my God.
Or whatever it's called.
You want to take another run at that?
I do not.
All the super ladies. All the super ladies.
Hey, we got a four-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets you can still win here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Laker and UCLA great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar will be joining us, and Hasan Minhaj from The Daily Show coming up as well. Good show today. I was unfamiliar with this word, sologamy, but it makes sense that it would be marrying yourself. These are people who are just they're both parts of the couple.
Yeah. Why?
I don't know.
Why do you marry yourself?
I don't know. Perhaps this woman, Erica Anderson, being interviewed on the topic, she recently married herself. Perhaps she will enlighten us.
How would you describe self-marriage?
I would describe it as women saying yes to themselves.
And what does that mean?
It means that we are enough, even if we're not partnered with someone else.
Hmm. If you're enough, even though you're not partnered with someone else, why do you have to marry yourself?
Why do you have to marry yourself?
Because you're enough.
Why are you both looking at me?
Because you're a lady.
Well, I think I could do better.
This Erica is 37 years old and had a full-on wedding with a wedding dress and bouquets and bridesmaids and the photographer and the cake and the party and everything.
Oh,
is
Erica.
Is she right. lying to us, or did she wake up one day and go, I'm never going to get married and I want a wedding?
Yeah.
Is that what's happening here?
It might be. Because
she's positioning it like it's not that, though.
Right.
She's
yeah.
positioning
Which
it
is that I'm so happy with the way just me is happening
right.
that I want to commemorate that with a ceremony. So I'm very confused about sologamy, but it is a real, real thing. And we asked if there's somebody we could talk to on this topic. And Dave lined up a young man named Roger Cantwell. He is an advocate for sologamy. And maybe he can help us work through this since we're all so new to the topic. Mr. Cantwell, how are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing fine. So how is this just one?
Why are you laughing?
Well, we're just happy to have you on the show,
Well,
sir.
I'm happy to be here.
All right.
I'm happy to talk to almost anyone.
This Erica Anderson, we were just...
Yes, Erica.
Oh, you know her?
I know her well. I was at her wedding.
Okay. So is she just a nut job, to use the language of the president, or is this a trend that's actually happening and it's becoming more and more popular?
Of course it's actually happening. It actually happened. That's how I know it's actually happening.
No, but I mean more than just her.
Oh, many people are marrying themselves. I myself married me.
What? All right. Then you tell us. What's the thought process that leads you to arrive at that decision?
I am enough. I love me and I accept myself wholly.
Right. Then why do you
need... I'm trying to tell you my vows.
Sorry.
I take my hand and hold myself as no one else will hold me. Mm-hmm. I treat myself better than anyone would ever treat me.
Okay.
And so I celebrate today myself. Me.
I see.
Yeah, it does sound pretty entitled, but don't you think you're kind of shutting yourself off from somebody that you could let enter your life by doing this?
Not at all. It leaves me open to the idea that maybe someday I will find someone else who is also a sologamist, and then we can be solo together.
So then, wait. So you would date that person? Or
I have no idea. I'm pretty faithful to myself.
I see. Oh. Okay.
You don't want to cheat on you.
I hate the idea of cheating on me.
Okay. What if you fall in love with somebody who has married themselves?
I am so in love with me. I can hardly imagine having room in my heart for another one.
Huh.
But I have spent the better part of my life alone, surprisingly.
Right. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
And it really, I fell in love with myself at an early age.
Oh, dear.
Around 12.
Right. Okay.
And my sex life has been primarily, well, as I like to call it, Han Solo. And so my sexuality just naturally led me, I think, into sologamy.
Okay.
But, and when I got married,
yes.
I had a great wedding. It was almost $750,000, my wedding.
What?
Yes, it was quite the affair. A large part of that was making tiny little tuxedos for my cats.
this is
that was part of the expense.
That was
expensive.
They're not cheap, those custom cats.
No.
Right.
Now, was this a sad day, Roger? Because it sounds sad just being on the outside of it.
Let me tell you something about my wedding.
Okay.
It was the happiest day of my life.
Wow, that's lovely.
As I looked into my own eyes.
How do you do that? Said,
you have to cross them severely.
I see, okay. Okay.
As I looked into my own eyes, and I said my vows to myself.
Uh-huh.
I just couldn't. It was so hard to wait until the wedding night.
Oh,
oh, oh, no.
I just had to duck into a restaurant.
Oh, no. Wow. Okay.
Get me a little piece of me.
You do love you.
You have no idea.
How is married you different than single you, though?
Well,
because doesn't single you do all those same things?
But when I was single with myself, we would go out more and party more. And now we're really so much more homebodies.
Okay. I see. Okay.
Have you seen the sex drop off?
No, actually, it's picked up considerably because we're spending less time out of the home.
I see. I see.
We just Netflix and chill a lot when we're home. It's more Pornhub and chill, but still,
I understand.
There's a lot of chilling.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, next half hour, you guys, here on the Kevin Bean Show. Also, Disneyland Park tickets that you can win, and we'll talk some more about the Weenie Roast, including we'll have on the air, Ralph, you may not even know this, the lady that Paramore brought up on stage to sing Misery Business.
Wow.
We're going to talk to her. They pulled her up from the pit to be on stage at the Weenie Roast.
Why is Haley so lazy, by the way? How did that happen?
That's one of the questions we could ask.
Your goddamn job. What are you singing, 8 songs? You're gonna farm one out?
I think she was trying to make it a fun experience for Paramore fans.
Lazy.
Anyway, that's all coming up in the next few minutes. Tomorrow at this time, it's going to be the first for the new season, The Bachelorette Report with Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis.
Woo!
We're not there yet, but Ralph, the P is on the phone because
my partner.
We got a little work to do before the show actually kicks off tonight on ABC.
P?
Hello.
Hello, my brother. How are you?
You guys got Kareem coming on?
Yeah. Yep.
I saved his life once, and he never even acknowledged
you
it.
You saved his life, and he didn't acknowledge it.
This is a true story.
All right, we're going to.
He wouldn't have died, but he's pretty old, and he would have had a tough fall.
We're going to make him thank you. What happened?
He doesn't want to. He doesn't even know who I am, and I must have interviewed him 1,000 times.
Well, what happened?
He was doing a show with Matt and I on a stage, and we had a really good idea to put a really old 7-foot man on a stage
good.
With a stool.
Good.
And as we were introing him, he fell off the stool and was going to fall off the stage.
Oh, man.
And because of my Mount Olympus-like strength, I caught him.
Right. Wow. Cat-like quickness.
Him back up. Never acknowledged. Never, not even a tip of the hat. Nothing.
Wow. Mm. You saved his life.
Not a kind man.
Oh, wow. Thanks for the lead-in. Thanks for the setup.
Hey, you're helping us out a lot here, P.
Very smart.
Really helping us out here.
Great writer.
Right.
Very smart.
Uh-huh.
Very intuitive, introspective.
All right, let's just leave it at that. Let's talk about The Bachelorette. Tonight.
You wanted the story.
Tonight, P, are you on? Are you back on? Are you ready for another journey?
I'm with you, brother, but this is the first time I've ever done a fantasy draft of any kind, football or anything.
Wow.
Is that right? That's shocking to me.
It was a little more fun for us here in the office last year when we all picked our favorites for Nick Viall's Bachelor season. So we thought we'd like to include you this time, and everybody gets to pick one, and we'll see who gets the furthest in the competition.
I'm pleased to be included. I'll take one of the black guys or a doctor.
Okay, well, right. I'm going to run through some of these. There's 31 guys, so obviously we won't get to all of them. But I'm going to run.
One?
Yeah. I'm going to run through some of them, and then maybe I can help you, everyone here in the room, choose by giving you some deep dive information on these guys.
Fantastic.
Right? First off is Adam. Adam is 27 years old today. Not today. He is a real estate agent. And he said his most embarrassing moment in his life was when he told his mom he was going on The Bachelorette.
That should be embarrassing for anybody.
But that shouldn't be what you say going into the show, right?
That's a good answer, actually.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
He's honest. I like it.
His most romantic present he's ever received was a threesome. He said it was my birthday.
Oh. Adam.
That is romantic.
He contains multitudes, this guy.
He's out.
He's out, pieces. Yeah.
Alex, he is an information system supervisor.
Ooh,
gross
sexy.
Gross point. Gross point. Mm.
Most outrageous thing you've ever done. Ate a live salamander.
Okay.
He's out.
He's out, right? Anthony, he was an education software manager. You know, I realized as looking through all these bios, if it wasn't for software and personal training, these guys would never have any jobs.
Wow. What is that? What is an education software manager?
I got no idea.
Those tech guys, historically, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ralph, is this just a stereotype, have trouble meeting women, right? Because they work in a way oversaturated man field.
But most of these guys, are just in sales. They're not, they're not designing software. They're just selling it.
Like male-dominated.
Yeah.
Would have worked.
Anthony says, describe yourself. Are you the party starter, the wingman, or the laid-back one? He said, I'm more of the laid-back one that turns into the party starter as the night goes on.
He's covering his bases.
Hey, you can't turn into a party starter after the party has started, a-hole.
You know what we call that?
What?
Alcoholic.
That's right. He's gonna be one who gets loaded and jumps in the pool early on in the first cocktail party.
He drinks and he's on his lip.
And then gets sent home.
Right. Blake E. is an aspiring drummer. That's his profession. Aspiring drummer. Either you're a drummer or you're not a drummer. No one aspires.
He's too muscular, Ralph. I don't think he could get his way around the kick.
That's true. You got to be more limber.
So he's lying about that.
I'm guessing.
There's no such thing.
He says, what are your three worst attributes? Sensitivity, procrastination, and patience. Those are his worst attributes.
Huh.
What are the good ones?
Wow.
Brady is a male model.
Okay.
Right?
Is that all we know?
That's all you need to know.
They all have the same haircut.
He says, what is the person you dislike most in the world and why, Brady? He says, the situation from the Jersey Shore.
Right?
Really? You're holding on to that grudge?
Jeez. These are weird interviews.
Move on.
By the way, P, you bring up a good point. No one with long hair ever seems to get on any of these shows. Everybody's always got the high and tight.
Well,
they don't like the Heshers.
They groom them before they let them out of the pen.
To make them as palatable to as many people as possible.
They give them all the same haircut.
Some year we should just get like a full-on Hesher in like black jeans and a Megadeth shirt.
That would be pretty cool.
He would stand out.
At the food court, you know?
Bryce is a firefighter, which already puts him up and running.
I can't with this guy.
Orlando, though. Look at his eyes. He looks like a grouper. I mean, he looks like a hammerhead shark.
Look at his ears.
Wait, who are we talking about now?
Bryce, the firefighter.
Okay. All right.
What's the wildest thing you've done in the bedroom? Caught a girl's hair on fire once while having sex. That's really good sex. You're making that kind of friction. And he's a firefighter. This is like backdraft.
He's setting his own fire.
Right, yeah. He's a firefighter setting his own fires. So he can be the hero.
Have sex with Jennifer Jason Leigh on that truck, right?
Right.
Yeah.
We're not all battling over any of these guys so far.
No. I'm not impressed.
No one has.
No one. There's been no one taken.
Ralph, the guy from Venice looks a lot like the girl in Game of Thrones.
You're right. Dean, who I think is just terrifying, he is a startup recruiter. I don't know what that means, but when asked if he had any tattoos, Dean said, yes, my mom's initials on my chest. I have artwork on my back. I've got friends' initials on my back. I've got Latin on my hip. I've got Triforce on my inner arm.
Wow.
And righteous on my inner lip.
Righteous.
He's got a lip tattoo.
That says righteous.
That says righteous.
All right, listen, we're going to run out of time here.
Oh, come on.
Now, I know you got a lot of great bios.
I didn't
bios.
Get to Diggy or Iggy.
I know, but I feel like...
We've got a Diggy and we've got an Iggy.
I feel like we just need to zip around the room with whatever you've been able to pick up about what you've heard. And I'll start by saying I don't know anything about Matt. I haven't even seen his picture. I don't know what he does for a living, but I did hear that he shows up in a penguin costume at the start of the episode. And that was a tribute to the shark or dolphin lady from last year, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to just write out, I'm going to take Matt who shows up in a penguin costume because I like
that's
penguins.
That's who Bean would date.
Because he likes penguins.
Because I do like penguins, yeah. So that's a write me down for Matt. Kevin, you got someone in mind yet?
Righteous.
You're taking Righteous.
Dean?
I'm taking Righteous. Yeah.
Long shot. But I should get
you're
paid
falling
like,
on a grenade.
But I should get paid like 50 to 1, because, right? The odds are
that's
against.
That's not how it works. Yeah.
Come on now.
Miss Allie McKay?
I'm going with Rob.
Now, what's Rob's deal?
He's a law student, but he's very worldly, did his overseas university. So he's got a lot going for
is that the
himself.
Ivory Coast guy?
I don't. Did half of his university China, Taiwan, Peru, and Spain.
Ooh.
He's driven, empathetic, and worldly.
Driven and pathetic?
Empathetic.
Oh. All right. And what's his name?
His name is Rob.
All right. So you've got Rob.
Yeah.
Pete, what say you?
I'm going with the Tickle Monster.
Now, who's the Tickle Monster?
The Tickle Monster.
Self-described 31-year-old Tickle Monster out of Smyrna Beach, Florida, Jonathan.
Yeah, but he's also like a doctor for kids, which terrifies
me. Oh, my God.
He's a family physician.
Yeah, he's got those tickly fingers.
Oh, I don't
know. Someone tickling kids in the ER?
Oh,
something's
no.
bad there.
No. This is all wrong.
Nope. Yeah, that's a weird association to be bragging about tickling kids on national television.
I don't like it.
All right, Ralph, how about you?
I'm going with the winner. Attorney Jack Stone. Attorney Jack Stone.
Oh,
he will fight for you.
Oh,
too late. I want Jack Stone. He will fight for you. He skydived in the Swiss Alps, and he's a lawyer. And he reads John Grisham.
They're both lawyers, and Grisham sucks.
And his mom battled cancer and passed away recently, so he's got the perfect story for about episode 6 when they get the first dinner together. Attorney Jack Stone will fight for you, and he will win.
By the way, Jack Stone is about as great a name as a human can have.
He sounds like he's a Grisham character himself. He's right out of a novel.
Like it.
He's Attorney Jack Stone, and he will fight for you.
Anybody's last name until your name is Jack Stone.
All right, Chip, who are you picking?
Oh, I'm not even paying attention.
Oh, you're not paying attention?
All right, you're out.
I'll
take
the drummer. Just
the aspiring drummer.
The aspiring drummer.
Okay. All right, now listen. One more thing here, Pete, because this time tomorrow, right around 7:30 tomorrow, we're going to be doing the first look at the episode that airs tonight on ABC. I want a good attitude going in. I want to see that tomorrow like you had today, which is you're open to the journey. Don't go in there poo-pooing it from the outset.
I want you in for all the right reasons, Pete.
All right?
Yeah, but if there's a whole bunch of race stuff...
And you know there's going to be some. You know that.
I'm going to freak out.
She's the first black bachelorette. They're going to have to acknowledge it.
1,000 times.
You think they're going to have a rap song to start it out instead this year?
All the right reasons.
All right, P, we'll see you tomorrow at 7:30. Thanks, man.
Bye.
Thank you, bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
Monday morning, Ralph is here with yet another look at the showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
It is a Monday morning, so we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office, starting with Alien Covenant. Made $36 million this weekend. That made it number one. Right behind it was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. These two films battled it out for supremacy all weekend long. Came in just a hair under Aliens' total with $35 million and change. Everything, the new romantic teen film, was third with $12 million. Snatched, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul, was fifth at the box office. Then King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, Fate of the Furious, The Boss Baby, Beauty and the Beast, and How to Be a Latin Lover. Those are your top 10 films. Scarlett Johansson showed up on Saturday Night Live's final show of the season.
Yes, she did.
Just power through.
Meaning just that.
Just power through.
People love doing that show. It's unbelievable how many stars show up every week.
She reprised her role as Ivanka Trump. They had a big, big musical number where all of the Trump tribe showed up and sang along. It was very entertaining. But what people are talking about is the New York Post report that at the after party, you know, they always have a big after party for Saturday Night Live. They drink until the wee hours. She was seen very openly making out with Weekend Update co-host Colin Jost.
No way!
Right? That is wrong on so many levels.
He dated Rashida Jones for quite a while.
Come on!
Yeah, what? He's doing pretty well for himself.
Huh.
Right?
That's
got game.
She's curious.
She's going through a divorce currently, so apparently she is single and looking to mingle. The New York Post report reads thusly. They were at the bar in front of everyone. They made out at least twice and then went back to talking and hanging with other people. That would be awkward. You're standing there talking to them. Suddenly they just turn to each other and start going at it in front of the bar. So I'm going to go get some beer nuts. I'll be back.
I'm just going to go anywhere else.
Yeah, this is a little strange. Speaking of sex, Matthew Perry wants to clear up a few rumors about the cast of Friends.
People are still asking him about Friends.
Yeah, he was on Andy Cohen's Watch What Happens Live on Bravo.
I can't take Friends info anymore. It's just craziness. Every day there's a Friends story.
David Schwimmer.
Yes.
Had hinted that a few of their stars broke the no-sex rule between the cast members. Early on when they joined the series, they got together and they said, we're going to have a no co-star sex rule. Mm-hmm.
This was the stars themselves getting
this
together?
This is okay. The six friends. They said, right. if we're going to survive this experience, there has to be a no-sex rule amongst the six of us.
Which is very smart, because you can anticipate, hey, if we break up, we still got to be in a scene together. It's no fun for anybody.
It's a nightmare for everyone involved. Now, Schwimmer has hinted that a few of the cast members broke that contract.
Oh.
So Matthew Perry was asked about it on Andy Cohen's show, and he said that he has no idea what Schwimmer's referring to. As far as he knows, everyone lived up to their part of the deal. Though Matthew says...
That means Matthew didn't.
As he admits, he said, I might have really been missing something. As he said, regarding his time on the sitcom. But as you can imagine, he said this it was his favorite gig ever, and it was nothing less than amazing.
Allie, is this why you won't have sex with any of us? Is you just want to make sure it doesn't get awkward later?
Plus you.
Plus you exist. Today's celebrity birthdays. Morrissey is 58 years old today. Naomi Campbell turns 47, supermodel. Jennifer, they let them live past 40 supermodels?
Not usually.
I thought there was a squad that came along.
I don't
think
there's a hit. No, I don't
throw
think
a black bag over their head and put them in the back of a panel van. And
I don't think so.
Drive them out to Pacoima.
Well, they are required to be out of the public eye. I do know that.
Jennifer Goodwin's 39. Maggie Q, the actress.
Love her.
Is 38 years old. And wrestler Daniel Bryan is 36.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you're 36.
Yes.
You're 36.
Yes.
Right. That's it.
Yes.
That's his,
yes.
That's his chant, Allie?
Yes.
That's what he does?
Yeah. Yes.
He came up with yes.
Yes.
I know.
Did he invent yes? Yes.
So
did
he good.
Copyright
yes.
it?
Right.
Does it keep yes. going like this?
Yeah. Yes. And the whole audience yes. is doing it.
I see.
Yeah, yes. with the hands in the air, yes. fingers uh-huh. pointed.
It's
yeah,
a very
it's good.
Positive message.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, he just had
yes.
a baby with one of the Bella twins.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, he did. Okay. No wonder he's saying yes so much.
Free Bella and him did it and made a person.
That's what it must have sounded like when they were conceiving.
Yes. Yes.
All right, we got it. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. We got it.
I can't watch
okay,
that
stop
second.
Pumping the air, Ralph.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey.
Hey.
The girl? That was brought up on stage with Paramore.
Erica.
To
Lazy
sing,
Haley?
Erica's her name, yes.
Lazy
to,
Haley?
To sing Misery Business at the Weenie Roast on Saturday night.
They had seven songs to do. This is the same one twice.
That's correct, yes.
She couldn't have sung all her own songs?
It was an unusual set.
She's the worst.
We're going to talk
she's
to her with
best.
You.
She's
talk
Haley's
Erica. Haley's the worst.
The best.
She's fantastic,
her.
First of all.
I'm taking her union card.
We're going to talk to Erica about that experience, but we also want to hear from you. If you've got a good story or observation or thought or question about the Weenie Roast, you were there on Saturday. We want to talk about the Weenie Roast because it was awesome. And, you know, there's 30,000 people there or whatever it is, 25,000 people there. And everybody's got a different story. So you can give us a call on that at 1-800-520-1067. And we'll talk to you next on K-Rock. To everybody who came out to the 25th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta at the StubHub Center this Saturday. You helped raise a lot of money for some great local charities, the Surf Rider Foundation and Heal the Bay. And we had a great time. And I'm always impressed. You know, it's one thing that we play these songs on the radio and hear that they're great records. I'm always impressed with how great so many of them are as performers on stage. It's a completely different set of skills.
Yeah.
But man, See and Imagine Dragons again was amazing.
Yeah, they're always good.
Paramore, I think, might have been my favorite set of the whole night. What must it have been like for Erica, by the way? That Paramore experience for Erica, who they dragged on stage to sing Misery Business I mean, with the band. They didn't drag her.
Yeah, it's mostly picked her and then lifted her up.
They didn't drag
yeah,
her
not
on
so
stage.
Much. It was good for
Erica.
I'm not
saying that it was
Erica.
A bad thing. I'm just
well,
saying.
Drag kind of means.
I'm saying one minute she's in the pit just enjoying a show. The next minute she's on stage jumping up and down, you know, pogoing and singing with the band.
If you would stop talking, we could talk to her.
Hi, Erica.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on. How you feeling?
I still am so happy and excited. I haven't stopped smiling since that moment.
Oh, no question. Now, is there any backstory that we don't know about how you were the one who was chosen to come out of the pit to be on stage?
So it seems to be a thing over time that you need a sign to get on stage. So that morning when I got in line at 5 a.m., I had printed out a picture that is kind of like a inside joke in the Paramore community,
right,
that the band has been posting. And then I also wrote in Sharpie, like, Ms. Biz Plus, when I was in line. So basically making a sign, and I had my friends around me all pointing to me furiously. So
you're doing everything you could to catch Haley's attention because you knew she would be scanning the crowd looking for someone to bring up on stage, and you just were hedging all your bets.
Yes.
Well, it worked. All right. So she pulls you up, and you have seen a lot of Paramore shows, it sounds like. So you kind of already know what to do, right?
Yeah. I described it as, like, I must have turned my brain off at some point because I cannot talk in front of my classes of 12 people.
Is that right?
There were a few more than 12 people there. So
they hand you – so Haley hands you a microphone. And the band's still playing, and then it's your turn. And were you, like, nervous that you were going to forget the words, or how am I going to sound as a singer? I mean, what's going through your head as you open your mouth to sing to 25,000 people?
So when I think back to it, I don't remember singing at all. So I saw a video, and I was like, oh, well, I did sing, so yeah, that's good. But, yeah, that was probably my biggest fear. Anytime I've ever thought about going up, it's just, like, what if I don't remember the words? Like, I have a tattoo based off of these lyrics, but who knows? Like, I might not sing any of them correctly.
Look, Erica, so yeah, you owned the stage. Like, you were doing motions. You were all over the place.
You're running all over the place.
Seriously, I was like, this girl has no fear. This is incredible. It was really impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, I must have turned off every inhibition I had.
Total out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
And had you met the band before?
Yeah, so actually, the second time I saw them, I won a contest by being a really big fan,
mm-hmm,
to see, like, a private show. And so I got to meet them there, and then I met them on Parahoy last year.
Oh,
so.
Okay, gotcha. Because I saw on stage when you lifted up your shirt so that Haley could see the lyrics on your skin, and I wondered if that was the first time she'd ever seen that.
Yeah, I got it right after Parahoy. So
that's amazing. Wow.
I was excited.
What a story, you guys.
Incredible.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Look, everybody goes to the Weenie Roast and has a good time. Erica goes to the Weenie Roast and has something that she'll never forget
the
rest of her life.
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah.
You need to put that on your resume that you performed at the Weenie Roast this year.
Yeah, I think I should.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And by the way, before we say goodbye and thank you for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show, how phenomenal was their set? Seriously.
Amazing.
Oh, my gosh. So good. Like, they're even better every single time I see them,
yep,
you know?
Yep. All right. Good times. Thank you, Erica. We enjoyed talking to you.
All right. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hey, let's talk to Rudy real quick. We got time to squeeze in a couple of quick phone calls. He's in Lakewood, line 4, 1-800-520-1067. Hey, Rudy.
Hey, Kevin Hebe and Allie.
Hey.
Tell us what stood out for you.
This was my first Weenie Roast, and it was a great experience. But for me, the highlight was Incubus covering Black Hole Sun with Matt from Cage the Elephant. That
How
was pretty
cool was that?
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. We were wondering because, you know, look, all these people, so many of them grew up listening to Chris Cornell in Soundgarden and loved him so much. We were wondering if anybody would make a mention of that from the stage, and this was even beyond that, to have those two sing together.
And Brandon said he was one of the two or three people that convinced him that he wanted to be a singer.
Yeah. If it hadn't been for the Super Unknown album, he says he may not ever have formed a rock band. And when did they have time to rehearse that, if they did, by the way?
I don't think they did.
Because I was really impressed by how great it sounded. If they were doing that on the fly, that's amazing.
It was unreal.
Yeah, agreed.
It was beautiful.
Overall, good time, Rudy?
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, yeah, like, obviously, like, Incubus was there, and yeah, like Paramore's, that was also really cool.
It was great.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate that. Let's squeeze in Philip real quick, if we could. He's in Riverside, line 8.
All right, Philip. Hi.
Hello.
What's going on, Philip?
Oh, that was a great show.
Mm-hmm.
I was in section C6, and it was some really bizarre guy was in dancing. He was in wearing some red, white, and blue, like, pajama thing.
Don't know anything about it.
And it was just really, really bizarre.
Don't know anything about it.
Yeah, Muggs was kind of frightening to some of the kids that were there.
Yeah, sure. It was terrifying for the kids. Muggs was letting his freak flag fly, wasn't he? Who had a better time than Muggs?
That was Muggs, yeah.
He is a gift.
That was way beer mug.
Don't be the 1%, man. Right. Be the 99.
Right.
Peace.
Yeah. Peace. Yeah. He was great. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that.
Let me take one more. I want to go to Gabriel in Whittier.
All right.
Hey, Gabriel.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, we saw a bunch of stage equipment rolling in that said No Doubt. It was all spray painted on it. And I could have sworn we saw Tony down there getting pictures in the pit and area and all that. Were there supposed to be a surprise guest?
Oh, Gabriel.
Okay, are you...
don't know if you're kidding. Are you serious?
Are you kidding?
I'm totally serious.
Have you heard of... there's a band called Dream Car? And that's three of the guys from No Doubt? And Davey Havoc from AFI?
That's Tony, Tom, and Adrian from the band No Doubt in the band Dream Car. So, of course, they'd be using their equipment that they own.
I was just so excited. I wish No Doubt would have played.
And scene. All this week here on K-Rock, we are giving away tickets for you to go to Disneyland. Disneyland Resort tickets because, you know, Memorial Day weekend is happening this weekend, you guys. And we want to congratulate Simone Moffitt from Long Beach. Just won those tickets. Your chance to win is coming up. I'm a little bit intimidated by the man whose voice we're about to hear on the phone here, Kevin, because he is a best-selling author of a dozen books on the New York Times best-selling list, a world-class activist. All-around good guy, and I'm told he used to be involved in sports. I can't find anything on the internet about that. I guess he played, I don't know, basketball or something. But we are delighted to welcome the legend, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, to the Kevin Abid Show here on K-Rock. Hey, how are you, Kareem?
It's all good. How are you guys doing?
It's doing great. We are so thrilled, as everyone is, when they get a chance to interact with you. The new book is in stores now and available wherever you buy books, called Coach Wooden and Me, Our 50-Year Friendship on and Off the Court. And I guess the logical place to start would be you have been outspoken about your admiration for the coach since the day you met him back in 1965. Why write a book now?
Well, you know, I wanted to think about what he meant to my life. And, you know, once I appraised that, I wanted to figure out how much of it I wanted to share, or if I should share. You know, a lot of it was private. But I think in sharing this stuff, I will give people more insight into what Coach was all about, his real character, and, you know, just why he was so much more than just a basketball coach. And he didn't do too bad at coaching.
No,
he did not.
Why do you think he was so successful as a coach?
I think he was successful because he had a bigger plan than just winning basketball games. He wanted to affect the lives of the young men that he mentored. And in doing that, he figured he could send some good men out into the world. He wanted us to be better dads and better husbands and better citizens than average. And he gave us the tools to do that.
And you write so eloquently at many points in the book about two things that I think would be surprising to a lot of people who just casually followed the sport. And one is that basketball was not the most important thing in his life or the most important thing that he spent time teaching you guys. It was how to be a good person. And also that he was not obsessed with winning, which you just think most coaches would be. It's almost like the winning was a byproduct of what he taught you, right?
That's what he wanted us to understand, that winning is a byproduct of your moral character and your work ethic. And if those weren't in place, you would take winning into the wrong direction and, you know, become greedy or any of those other negative directions that people go in when they become successful.
And because of his whole shaping of all of you guys, and he was more of a father figure to a lot of guys, you said he'd really struggle with the one-and-done players of today.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been able to coach in today's environment because all the kids coming through a basketball program now, all they're interested in is looking good so that they can go on to the NBA and make those millions of dollars.
Mm. It's so fascinating to see how much the game has changed, and I really enjoyed so much reading about that in the book. I mean, like when you got recruited by UCLA, you couldn't even play varsity the first year, right?
Right. Freshmen were ineligible, and you couldn't get into the NBA until your high school year had graduated from college. So four years after high school was the first time that you were eligible to be in the NBA.
And I also had no idea that at one point the NCAA banned dunking in the game and that Coach Wooden was for that ban.
Yeah, he did. And you know what? The worst part about that was I didn't find out about that until, you know, like the year 2000.
Really?
Okay? Well, Coach made that vote and then came back and coached me the next year and never let on that he had voted to ban the dunk.
And was that, I mean, you were a big part of why? Because people thought it would ruin the game because all that would happen is everybody would just feed you the ball and you would score all the points, right?
Well, you know, it didn't affect my ability to play the game or UCLA's domination of the game. They did that, and UCLA ran off, I think, six more consecutive NCAA champions.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, it didn't have the effect that they wanted it to have.
It is crazy that your coach at the time voted against you doing what you do.
Well, you know, what he was voting against was the fact that, you know, the dunk shot is about dominance. And he thought that basketball should be a game of subtlety and, you know, preparation and not just overwhelming dominance. And he wanted to emphasize teamwork and not just one person that is so unstoppable and he can just smash the ball through the hoop.
We're talking to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar here on the Kevin Abid Show. Yeah, you heard me. He is the author of a new book called Coach Wooden and Me, Our 50-Year Friendship on and Off the Court. You played how many games for Coach Wooden, Kareem?
I played 90 games for Coach Wooden.
And you lost how many? And I want people to listen carefully to this answer.
Two.
Oh, my gosh. Not
90 games, two losses.
And after those losses...
Did he go crazy? He just tore that place up, didn't he?
Throwing chairs.
No, he didn't. You know, we lost to Houston, and I had a poor game, and there were reasons for that. The one that kind of sticks in our craw is the second loss, the loss to SC, because we were just, you know, we got complacent, and they were determined. And we played SC more than any other school, so they had the most opportunities to beat us. And on their last opportunity, they got over on us.
Sure. All right, we're almost out of time, but I wanted to ask you something else. And again, the book is so wonderful, you guys, and it's a history of 50 years of America and all of the social changes and everything that went through. And you see these two guys, Coach Wooden, a 55-year-old white man, becoming practically best friends with an 18-year-old kid from, you know, inner city New York. And it's a love story like no other that I've ever read, and it's so beautifully put. But I'm so fascinated with something that you said when you talked about in his later years how many people would come to the Den to sit with Coach Wooden. And it's Michael Jackson, and it's John Wayne, and it's Matthew McConaughey. Were they coming just to pay tribute to him, or were they hoping to learn something from him the way he taught you and so many other young people?
Well, I'm sure they wanted to learn whatever they could. But if you want to learn something from Coach Wooden, you had to stick around for a while. You had to listen, and probably had to go do some reading and research, you know, because he'd send you to the books immediately. You know, you had to get into some depth. That's what it was about. It's not just a quick fix. You got to live your life in depth, and you have to, you know, engage with people and situations in depth. You can't just be on the surface.
Well, as I said, it's a beautiful book, and I was surprised. I knew that you had always stayed friends and always stayed in touch with the coach, but I didn't realize that how close you were and how much time you spent together. And I bet now you look back and you're so grateful that you had that many hours with the man.
Yeah, I am, because you know I realized along the way there that he had given me incredible tools to live my life. You know, and not everybody does that.
No. Plus 88 and 2.
You can't beat that. You
sure can't.
All right, Kareem, a real thrill. Congratulations on the book, sir, and good luck to you.
Thank you. Great talking to you guys. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Bye now. Okay, is he gone? All right. I don't want to hang up on Kareem.
No,
well
you
done.
Do not.
Okay, good.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
What?
What's going on?
We are living in a golden age of television. Mm-hmm. This is magic time.
Magic time.
Last night's Twin Peaks return blew my doors off.
You have doors?
I do have doors. I won't tell you where they are, but I got them.
Not anymore. They got blown off.
Just loved it so much. And a lot of people, I was talking this morning about my review of Twin Peaks, which I just, like I said, largely was just, I had this look on my face.
What's happening?
I was a dog hearing a whistle. I was confounded. I was confused. I was perplexed largely
for the 2-hour premiere. But at the same time, I was just so deeply loving it and enjoying it. And a lot of people emailed me who had a differing opinion, saying they loved the original Twin Peaks because it started off as a normal sort of crime drama. It was very humdrum, small-town stuff. And then they peeled back these layers, and it got weird and dark, and that's what made it exciting for them.
Right. Like Blue Velvet. Same sort
right.
of thing.
Right. Yeah. That's very Lynchian behavior. He likes to show you what looks to be the very normal, the super normal on the surface, and then underneath it. It gets twisted and weird. And my response to them was, you can't do that again with Twin Peaks. That the curtain's been pulled back on that scenario. You can't go into Twin Peaks and play it again as if it's all normal and safe and sane and there's nothing wrong. You've been exposed to the reality of that world, and you know that's not the case. So it would be a waste of everyone's time to try to pretend that it's all normal on the surface again.
What percentage of people do you think, it's just a wild guess, but do you think saw the original?
Most that were watching it?
I'd say most, right? That the majority of the audience for last night's revisited Twin Peaks are the same fans of the original.
Would have seen it, yeah.
So I think they would be bored if you tried to establish that again because they would know that was not the case. So I think Lynch came out of the gate being weird and wonderful and all over the place because he knows it's a different set of rules now. I mean, everyone who saw the original knows what they're dealing with, and now it's just game on. I think he's going to make it crazy initially, and then it will get more sane and more linear as we get towards the end of the series. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, you can't pretend Killer Bob doesn't exist.
Right, Bob is there.
Right.
Bob is in Cooper's doppelganger. Let's not forget that ever.
Ever.
From the Black Lodge. Right? That moment. You're not forgetting that. Allie, there was a lot of backward talking last night. You would have liked it.
I am very upset right now because right when you did that, it's on my DVR and now I'm not
Come on.
Sure.
You're
now I'm not sure.
Out by backwards talking.
It's the worst thing in the world.
Is it the future or is it the past?
I hate it.
That was great.
Why has Kyle MacLachlan not aged 5 years since that show was
it's
on?
It's a
the
little
air.
Bit so annoying.
It's kind of weird how much he looks exactly
got some
the same.
Deal with the devil. So anyway, there's that. We got that going. And then, on the 30th of this month, May 30th, it's the return of Animal Kingdom.
Yes!
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
One of my favorite shows.
Same.
Last season on TNT, Animal Kingdom was so good. If you're behind, you got to catch up before the new season starts. But Animal Kingdom, story of a family down there in Oceanside who are just the most banged up mentally, emotionally, physically family you've ever met in your life. Even for Oceanside, they're banged up. And I know Oceanside. I know O-side. But the acting and the writing, and it's just, it's crime drama, it's family drama, it's got so many aspects going to it. It's got the amazing Sean Hattasey, who's just one of my favorite actors. We loved him since Southland and even before, right?
Yep.
And you got, he's a Pope Cody, who's just of that family, maybe the most out there. And yet somehow the most sensitive and sort of sane at the same time. And then you got Ellen Barkin as Smurf, the head of the family, who is just ruling them with an iron fist up until the end of last season.
Right.
And then they went off the rails a little bit. Anyway, I'm very excited about the return of that. And so in order to celebrate the return of Animal Kingdom, I want to give away right now a $100 American Express gift card. $100 to spend any way you want.
Huh.
And if you're one of the Cody family, you're probably going to get tequila and blow with it. That's what I'm guessing, because that's what they enjoy.
That's not a bad choice for anyone.
No, it really isn't. It's a party. If you'd like to win, I'm going to ask you a little trivia question. We mentioned Sean Hattasey, a friend of the show, and one of our favorites. Little trivia question regarding Sean. Pretty simple if you're a fan. What's his middle name? I need Sean Hattasey's middle name. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First person through with that information. We'll get a $100 American Express gift card from TNT's original drama series, Animal Kingdom.
Bobo.
It's not Bobo. I'll give you one hint right now.
Okay, not Bobo.
It is not Sean Bobo Hattasey.
Jesus.
It is not Jesus either.
No.
It's a Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Alien Covenant debuted with $36 million this weekend, making it number one, just a hair ahead of its competition, which was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, came in with $35 million and change. Everything Everything debuted with $12 million. That made it third. Snatched was fourth. I went into Snatched expecting a very different movie. It was not really what I thought it was going to be. I think I had convinced myself it was going to be something else. I had rented something similar once.
Right.
And I saw the title. And I was like, really? I like that first one. Is this like a sequel? And I went there and
boom. That's a completely understandable mistake.
That's
on them.
That's a bad surprise right there when you get in there and you see what happens. Oh.
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you brought up Snatched. What was the deal with the Amy Schumer Instagram last night, Allie?
What was the deal
with that? With her at the Celtics game?
I think the NBA was trying to be funny.
They were.
A picture of her with Dave Chappelle.
Right.
And they tweeted, Amy Schumer with a fan. It's like, okay, A, not funny at all. B, don't disrespect Dave like that.
I was just
regardless,
wondering.
Regardless. Like, it's know your audience. Guess what? They don't like Amy. And it was clear in the comments.
Yeah.
Like, it was just awful.
I wonder what their point was, because if you don't know, you're ignorant. And if you do know, it's not funny.
That was like some 20-year-old social media kid that was like, this will really get him.
All right.
Well, I think it was actually a good choice, because there aren't a lot of black people who enjoy basketball and Dave Chappelle. You don't. There's not much of a crossover in that Venn diagram.
Right.
So I don't think, who are you going to bother? Who are you going to upset? Right? Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul, fifth. Lawrence, I don't know where that came from. King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, $6.9 million, minute number six. Fate of the Furious, Boss Baby, Beauty and the Beast, How to Be a Latin Lover. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. I think we have an answer to our trivia question. Pretty simple and straightforward. Sean Hattasey, one of the stars of one of my favorite dramas on television, TNT's Animal Kingdom. Just asking for his middle name. That's
Bobo.
All. I just told you it wasn't Bobo.
Oh.
Let's see if Susan from Burbank knows Sean's middle name. Susan?
Wayne.
Wayne is correct.
Yay!
Wayne.
Wayne.
Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details. We just won a $100 gift card from American Express thanks to TNT's Animal Kingdom.
Sweet.
Hold on. It's pretty sweet. $100 for Wayne.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just got to say Wayne, you get $100.
Wayne.
I think tomorrow I'll do a little
Bobo.
Ellen Barkin trivia.
Ah.
I was just watching over the end of last week, I guess, it was on one of the cable channels. I was flipping around, and every time I see it, I get snagged, and I can't walk away. Sea of Love. You ever see Sea of Love with Ellen Barkin and Al Pacino?
That might be her greatest performance.
John Goodman. It is one of my favorite cop dramas. It's so outstandingly done. And she's sexy as hell in it, so we'll talk about her tomorrow. Today's celebrity birthdays. Morrissey is 58 years old today. Naomi Campbell's 47. Jennifer Goodwin is 39. Maggie Q, 38 years old today. And wrestler Daniel Bryan is 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Very excited about this. He is perhaps best known as Indian medical student number 2 from Arrested Development.
Come on.
I guess an episode in 2013 you were on? Is that right?
Come on, man. That's the intro?
That's the intro.
That's our favorite show of all time.
So
that's high praise.
So we already love you because you were on Arrested Development.
Yeah.
You may know him better as a comedian and actor as a correspondent on Comedy Central's The Daily Show. Hasan Minhaj is here in studio with us.
Oh, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
I didn't, forgive me, I know of you as a comedian, and I know of you as a journalist. Is it fair to say you're a journalist?
I don't know. That's a stretch, man.
Is it?
I am satirizing what a journalist would do.
Right.
So it's getting very meta now.
Mm,
Because at The Daily Show, I'm playing a fake journalist, but I'm satirizing journalists who are doing kind of fake news.
Right.
So it's this double negative now where people are like, oh, no, comedians are the real journalists. And I'm like, no, let's not do that. Let's not do that now.
I didn't realize you were...
Because you would never do that. If healthcare is kind of bad in this country right now.
Right.
It's not great. But that doesn't mean George Clooney, who played a doctor on ER, should be your doctor.
Agreed.
It's like, let's...
I'd let
let's,
him. I'm down.
Let's keep it all straight.
Right.
I don't think that's his point,
before the anesthesia,
though.
You're down. And then once you're...
I'm out. Yeah. You're right.
I guess what I'm saying...
She's good either way.
You got to go some way.
I didn't know you were an actor. How seriously are you pursuing that?
I'm starting to do more movie stuff. It's interesting how Hollywood works. So doing this movie that comes out in June called Rough Night with Scarlett Johansson.
You're in Rough Night?
Yeah. Were you guys just hanging out with Zoe Kravitz and stuff like that?
No, we don't know anybody. But
I'm just hanging out with Zoe Kravitz. He asked.
That was darling.
You guys have people come in all the time, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I wouldn't call it hanging out as much as sit down then get out.
We have your friend Trevor Noah on tomorrow.
Oh, great.
So this is quite a Daily Show week for us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Please say good things about me.
That was an underwhelming oh great, by the way.
No, that was a very enthusiastic
there was
oh great.
Something there.
So he's a dick, right?
No. He's great. He's the best. Come on.
There's no way
with those dimples. There's no way you could be a dick.
Yeah, that's true. He's pretty true.
And look, I see those dimples in real life every day. You guys get to see it in 1080p.
Yeah.
But when you see it in real life, it's another story.
So we're gonna swoon when we meet Trevor.
Oh, you guys are gonna melt. You're going
to
melt.
All right. We have so much to talk to you about, including the comedy special, which is why you're here, Homecoming King, which debuts tomorrow night on Netflix. And I promise we will get to that. But I'm just so fascinated with how the Daily Show has – no show on TV has a better track record of turning out amazing, hilarious, funny people, right?
Yeah.
How does one get into the Daily Show? Like what – I don't understand what the audition process is like because you're not really doing that sort of thing when they hire you.
It's crazy. I got hired during the end of Stewart's era. So – you go in.
So it was still his show.
It was still his show. Yeah. So I was there the last year with him. It was kind of like I got to play with Michael Jordan during the 97-98 Bulls. You know, I just came in and I'm like, oh, man, I get to win a championship. And, you know, you're like,
And then he's gone.
Yeah, then he's gone. And then you're like, oh, man. No. And then Trevor came in. So I've been part of both eras, but it's a very interesting dynamic because you come in and you have to, in front of a green screen, you just meet him and then he's at the desk and you're doing a chat with him. It's kind of like the Daily Show's version of the SNL audition. You come in and you just gotta, blow him away.
But that you do stand up and impressions. That's the SNL audition. What can they have you do that will be reflective of how you'll be at the Republican National Convention interviewing delegates?
This is where you do a chat from a location. I'm doing air quotes right now because we do it in front of a green screen. I'm sorry.
Right.
But yeah, and then you would do the banter with him.
Uh-huh.
So that's your version.
Do you know the topic at all?
They tell you the topic.
They do, okay. Yeah,
and then you have to write an original piece to do with him at the desk.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so that's kind of the, you know, that's your college entry essay.
What
to see
was
how
yours?
Smart and funny you are. I wrote one. What did I write? I wrote one about, this is what it was called. It was called Batman versus Bill Maher. Ben Affleck went on Bill Maher's show and defended Muslims in front of Bill Maher. And I was like, oh, my God, we got our first A-list celebrity to back the Muslim community. He may not be the hero we want, but he is the hero the Muslim world needs. I was like, I was so happy in that moment. I forgave him for Geely. Geely never happened.
Oh, really?
Daredevil never happened.
That's,
no, that's my dude.
That's a lot of forgiveness.
When he stood up and he defended us, I was like, that's my guy. Daredevil never happened. Tools clear history. Screw you, Rotten Tomatoes. So that was like the general premise of the...
And how did that play with John? Did he love it?
He liked it. Yeah. I got hired.
That's so in the wheelhouse of the Daily Show.
It's kind of like, what's your sort of take? What's your position on something? And what's your funny thing? And you guys do this on the radio, too. It's like...
We tried to do that.
Yeah. What's happening in the news? And then what is your unique perspective or take on it?
Were you starstruck by John?
Of course.
You were a fan of the show, I know. Going in, yeah.
Yeah. Jewish Yoda? Are you kidding me? You see how I saw him? I was like, Dad? Like, I mean, it was like this... Because what's wild is he was a lot shorter than I thought. So when he came out, you know, I'm sitting there just waiting in this, you know, in this studio. And then he comes out of the big tunnel where the guests come out from. So as he's walking out, he's just this giant shadow.
Right.
He's backlit. So all I see is this giant shadow walking towards me. I'm like, oh,
you're thinking
God.
Darth Vader.
Yeah. But then he stepped into the light and he was shorter than I thought. And he had all this kind of, you know, scruff on his face because they weren't airy that
day. Did you chuckle?
Yeah, but I looked at him and I was just like, Dad, like he looked like Jewish Najmi. Like he looked like my dad.
That sounds about
right. And so then, you know, when as soon as I saw that, I was like, I feel like I know this guy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
you know what the other thing about him?
And he's great.
He used to come on our show a lot.
He did.
Really?
Then he got too big.
Before he got popular, yeah. He came on all the time.
As a comedian. Would he do political stuff?
I mean, I think I think he was always a current events oriented
current events right.
comedian. Yeah, but super super nice.
Yeah,
just really the kind of guy you would love to just hang out with. And he stopped seeing us. He stopped coming on our show.
Oh,
but
come
I mean,
on.
Understandably, as you will. We don't blame him, and we don't blame you in the future for doing the same.
No. I'll
if you become Indian medical student number one on the new season of Arrested Development, there's no reason for you to ever come back here.
I'm not picking up the phone.
Hasan Minhaj is here on the Kevin Bean Show for the Daily Show. The special is called Homecoming King.
Yes.
It premieres tomorrow night on Netflix. We'll talk all about it with our guests when we return on K-Rock. Comedian, actor, TV personality, Hasan Minhaj in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. You know him from The Daily Show and perhaps from the White House Correspondents' Dinner about a month ago, which had to have been a coming Hey America for you, for a lot of people, right? A lot of people who seen you for the first time that night.
Yeah, it was one of those things where you have the attention of the country and the world for about 25 minutes. And I would assume the president
president, even though he wasn't there.
Oh, he saw it. He was watching.
He's seen everything.
Now,
he was watching. There's
been like one time in 50 years that the president wasn't there, right? Like Jimmy Carter was sick or something
like that. I think in 81, Reagan wasn't there.
Yeah, he had just gotten shot.
Yeah, but he was recovering from a gunshot wound from the assassination attempt. But he's still like videotaped in to be like, hey, I still support you guys. I'm sorry I couldn't be there.
Were you bummed or pleased that he wasn't going to be there?
I think it's two different scenarios. I am bummed because one of the things is I still could have done the same blistering set. And he wouldn't have understood any of the jokes. That's the thing that's great. There's this Skype delay with him, so people are like, oh, you wouldn't have been able to go as hard. I was like, no, I probably could have. He doesn't understand satire or humor. You know, it's pretty low-hanging fruit. But him not being there, that shaped the set in a different way because the theme of the night was honoring the First Amendment. So the irony that I thought is like, wow, the one guy who abuses this privilege to tweet whatever enters his little head refuses to come honor the amendment that allows him to do that.
Wasn't one idea floating around that when he was roasted by whoever the host was a few years ago?
Seth Meyers.
It was Seth
2011.
Meyers.
Oh, yeah, that was so good.
Pissed him off so much that he started plotting a serious run for the White House.
That was one of the jokes that
that timeline kind of works.
Yeah, I was going to do that joke in the room that night. I said, hey, let's just be aware here. In 2011, Donald Trump was roasted on this very podium by Seth Meyers, mm-hmm. which became the impetus for him to run for president. So I have to be very careful about who I roast here tonight. The last thing I want to do is roast the biggest clown in the room and then be opening for President Don Lemon in 2020.
A little part of you thinking that dude could walk in at any point.
Yeah, did you know? Yes. I was prepared. I had this thing called I had this thing called DEFCON Orange. It was an orange car, and I was like, if he walks through the door, because you got to understand, he is a professional wrestler.
That's so
essentially true.
He could have walked in with like Vince McMahon, and he's in the WWE Hall of Fame. I'm not making this up. I'm not saying this to be like sly or, you know, whatever.
Oddly, that's all true.
No, he understands promotion.
And he understands showmanship and the whole
thing. Absolutely, yeah.
So,
he's very good at it.
So, you know, I was ready for, you know, Lord Voldemort and the Death Eaters to roll in. I was ready.
Now, you've played as a comedian. We all know how long it takes to get to win over an audience when you're starting out. It's a steep learning curve on comedy. But you've said that the White House Correspondents' Dinner is, just by its very nature, one of the toughest rooms a comic will ever play. How come?
But you're going to roast journalists. You're going to their dinner. It's an award show for them.
Right.
And then you make fun of them at the end of the night. It's their party and you're making fun of them.
And not notoriously known for their senses of humor.
Yeah. Wolf Blitzer isn't a guy who likes to laugh at himself.
But he loves turtles.
You know what I mean? Like, these guys are just like Lester Holt doesn't want to be made fun of to his face.
Before we talk about the special, I want to ask you one more Trump-related thing because it's also Muslim-related.
Sure.
Very high marks by most media outlets about his speech in Saudi Arabia, trying to put some of the heat on other Muslims to step up and say and give a little help with fighting terrorism. Did you think he did a nice job with that?
I didn't get a chance. I was traveling, I didn't get a chance to see what – I saw the photos of him holding the glowing orb.
That was crazy. That was Illuminati first level.
Yeah, doing the sword fights. I was like, what is going on? So I got to watch the speech.
Right.
Yeah.
As a Muslim, though, it has been a tough 4 months with this president, right? And it's affected you and your family personally.
Yeah. It's one of those weird things where, look, when you have sweeping rhetoric like that where there's going to be a ban, you know, on all Muslims entering the country, it's a weird thing. And I have family overseas. My mom, you know, was visiting my grandma, and it's a weird thing to get a phone call from your mom and she's saying, hey, will I be able to get back in the country? Yeah. And she's a citizen.
Wow.
And the fact that you can't say – now, look, she got back okay. But the fact that you can't say yes with 100% certainty, that's the thing where I was really disappointed and just really sad, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
You talk about all of this in your Homecoming King special.
Sure, yeah.
Where'd you film it?
I filmed it in my hometown. So I grew up in Northern California, Davis, California. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk about –
And you didn't become a veterinarian?
I didn't. I did not.
How did you escape?
I didn't become a veterinarian or a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer.
I know.
Yeah, it was just the cows, fields, and veterinarians. But I did it there. I grew up there. And I wanted to talk about a lot of the things that I don't get to talk about on the show, a lot of personal stories about life growing up in sort of a longer form, one-man show style setting. And it was really cool to bring it back to my hometown. time.
Well, everything I've seen from it has been so smart and so clever. And the beautiful thing is it's such a – it's all so personal. Like, no one could – no one's lived your life.
Sure.
And no one could tell the stories that you tell because they're exclusive to you, which is so refreshing. Yeah. You know? I mean, you're not just another guy up there talking about that airplane food, right?
Right, right. Relationships are weird. But they are. But it's one of those things where, yeah, everybody has their own unique story. And I think that's what makes – you know, I wanted to add my story to the American dream and this great narrative that we have in this country.
This may be a really stupid question, and I apologize, yeah. But I, as a Muslim, you get asked all the dumb questions anyway, okay. Right? Are you the first Muslim a lot of people have either met or been entertained by as an entertainer?
You know, Muhammad Ali was one of the great entertainers and public figures of this country. So to me, like, what's interesting is that a lot of times people think it's a mutually exclusive concept to be Muslim American is like, oh, are you either – you're either one or the other. To me – it's the most American thing you can be, having disparate opinions and views and viewpoints. This great mixing of personalities and opinions is the most American thing.
That's what makes it strong.
Yeah, like that
you can argue every side.
That to me is what's so awesome. You know, when Ali died, I kind of felt like oh man, he was such a great American figure because he was all of these things.
Yeah.
Outspoken, black, brash. He spoke out against, you know, politicians and things that were wrong in the country. And he was a champion. Mm-hmm. He was all of these things. And those things all combined are only possible in America. And I talk about that.
USA!
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? USA!
But I talked about that at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I was like, the fact that I'm up here on this stage is a very uniquely American concept. This is the only country in the world where I can stand on this stage and make fun of the president to his face.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
It is. Yeah. It is awesome. And you're doing great work on The Daily Show.
Thanks,
and
man.
Congratulations on the Netflix special.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad you got a chance to come in and see us. You're welcome anytime.
This is really fun. Thanks for having me.
Simon Aj, you guys.
Hey!
Wait.
Now.
And now go.
Now.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 941. I'm not even lying when I say Hasan Minhaj has the best hair, maybe of any guest I've ever seen in hair.
And the beard was trimmed.
He was on
to a
point.
T. Yeah, it was a good look.
Yeah, it was some good grooming going on there.
Good look.
Here's what happened when he left. First of all, he's a great guest.
Yeah, he was great.
Let me just say,
very
entertaining.
Let me just say, smart and funny. Let's not ignore that.
First, but dreamy.
But the second he walked out, Bean said these words, and I quote,
"Great effing hair."
I mean, it was amazing. It was a miracle. It was like you spent 8 hours on it to get it perfect for a photo shoot, and he's just walking around like that in the wild.
You're preaching to the choir. It was fantastic.
God, that was impressive. How does he do it?
What is happening?
9:42. Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat on a Monday. What's going on?
How do I get you to stop?
Right? Stop what?
Life. Just in general.
Look.
He was a great radio guest.
No, fine.
Start with that.
But the hair,
dude. How is that your first comment?
Because it was amazing. That's why. Because it was
amazing.
I'm
just saying, why don't you say less?
Well, you've often asked that question. Allie's got my back.
Right, Allie's not the first thing she said.
Two RPs in a pod.
You've got my back, right?
And
Ralph's here with the showbiz beat.
Your peas in a pod, and I hope someday bags in a desert. Both of you.
And you guys have never talked about a lady's looks when they come on.
That's
right.
True.
You're
Thank
right.
you for noticing that.
But it would have been different even if he had said he's a handsome fellow or a good-looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
But to go right to just somebody's hairdo.
Did you see his hair, though?
Holy crap! It's
it was great.
It was great
hair.
Flawless. It was pretty good hair.
Someone. Send me a message in a bottle.
I can't
let
lie.
Me know I'm not alone.
Ralph ate so many bags.
You're
going to have to rent an RV now to take all these bags out to the desert.
You know, it was funny. It was a weird morning. I've been corresponding with a lot of friends via Twitter. Sean Hattasy reached out because you heard us talking about his Animal Kingdom show coming back. And Paul F. Tompkins reached out because one of our favorite diners in Philadelphia was closing. And so it was just Twitter. And I'm looking at all these people. It's like being at the zoo and watching people walk by the cage. And you're like, hey, let me out. Can you please take me with
come
you?
Come on, Ralph.
And no, and I turn around and there's the rest of the baboons there swinging from the tire.
This is
swing.
The fun zone right here.
This is not the fun zone. This is the pain zone.
We are going to be stuck in this cage until the day we die. We're not getting out.
Sad but true.
That's what they probably thought at the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, too. Which had its last performance this weekend at Long Island's Nassau Coliseum in New York.
I'm a little surprised it lasted this long. Because there have been so
only
146 much,
years.
So much protestation over the last, is that a word?
It is, Kevin.
Over the last 20 years, 25 years.
I think we will be having this same conversation about SeaWorld within 5 years, too.
Agreed.
Because of all the protestation?
Right.
I don't think so. Because SeaWorld actually has a scientific purpose as well. They also do research. And they have breeding programs. And I know a lot of people have problems with them, but a lot of people also think they do a lot of good. Mm-hmm. You know, their breeding probably will go by the wayside. They won't be able to breed.
Yeah, I think they've already made that announcement. They're not going to do that anymore. But
marine animals.
But as long as they have whales in captivity, there are going to be a certain number of people who just won't have any part of it.
I don't think they are anymore. Are they? At SeaWorld?
What? They just blow a whistle and they come in?
I don't think they're going to have whales.
All right.
Are they not having whales anymore, are they?
What do they got? Just starfish? What do they think? Cod? What are they going to? What kind of show are they going
to
put on?
Family is just blind enough to see cod.
Hey, look.
I swear, I thought they were no longer going to have killer whales.
They're going to have fish fingers.
I don't think they're going to breed them any longer. But the ones that they still have in captivity, they're going to use them still in their entertainment programs. Yes.
I'd like to see the cod show.
I thought you would. Sweet Jesus. Anyway, 146 years. And then it's all gone away now.
So a lot of clowns looking for work today.
Oh, yep.
A lot of guys who can ride a unicycle need a job.
A lot of clowns in this room are going to be looking for work soon.
Well, let's find out after the Musica meeting today.
You know, you remember Resident Evil? Remember the old Resident Evil franchise?
Sure.
That just had like another
forever
movie
ago. Well,
3 months ago or something.
Yeah, I guess you know if you want to say technically the right. Sixth film in the franchise did come out a few months ago.
Right, so you're living in the past apparently, Kevin.
It does hit home video. It hit home video last Tuesday.
Oh, it did.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's a long time.
Right.
Right. Because they just announced today that they're going to reboot the franchise, the Resident Evil franchise. Finally, they're going to revisit those very popular characters in that scenario
with different people?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's starting all over again. They're rebooting the Resident Evil franchise. And I think they waited a respectful amount of time. I'm glad that they are now investing in a reboot of the Resident Evil franchise.
Forgive me. I get confused. Is that the Kate Beckinsale franchise?
No.
That's Underworld.
It's Underworld.
God damn it.
Who's this one?
This is
Mila Jovovich.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So Alice, she's too old to be Resident Evil now? They got to bring
in... No, she's not too old at all.
Oh, okay.
It's course.
I thought that's why they usually reboot is because the people are getting a little long in the tooth and they want to start off younger again.
Okay.
Franchises earned more than $1 billion over the past 15 years.
Wow.
So you can see why the Constantine Film Production Company that produces this franchise is interested in keeping new entries coming out. I guess the last film was not a tremendous success.
The Final Chapter?
The Final Chapter, yes.
Wasn't also the Final Chapter.
Well, it was for that particular band of merry mirthmakers, but apparently this new batch will come together. A new Alice will be cast, and new producers and directors will be brought in. Paul W.S. Anderson was the director for that franchise.
They got to get Hasan Minhaj in there with that hair, man. People flock to the theater to see that. Couldn't keep people away from that.
And we don't have time to do this or Orlando Bloom story.
Sure we do.
Go ahead. Because of all your yammering.
No, go ahead. Do it.
This is not right, and it must not stand, and we all must draw a line.
Okay.
Okay.
And say no more.
Okay.
A waitress in London got fired after her bosses found her naked in Orlando Bloom's hotel room. After a steamy night with him.
How did her bosses find her?
Well, here's the thing.
And why do you get fired for having sex on your off hours?
You cannot fraternize with the clients.
I'm sorry. This was in a hotel? She
worked
at the hotel?
At the bar in the hotel.
Oh, I see.
And was serving Orlando Bloom cocktails all night long.
I see. And then you served her a cocktail.
FCC! That's all I'm saying.
What? He made her a drink when she
exist.
Came to the room.
Back, you're talking about a bar.
She came to the room and he's like, hey, let me get you a cocktail.
Seemed a little on the point to me.
Oh.
So she's 21 years old. Viviana Ross is her
name.
And as you can imagine, She's hideous. She's a hideous, looking 21-year-old girl.
Look again, Ralph.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Her her Instagram photos look like the best photo shoot you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, she's living a pretty good life.
She was pouring, she was serving him drinks all night long, and then she claims she was off duty. She changed into her street clothes. She was leaving, and they ran into each other outside the hotel.
Seems fine to me.
Yeah.
I got no problem with this. She did nothing wrong.
But
well, if it's the rules that you can't fraternize.
Yes. If they say
Dean says she did nothing wrong.
The rules are you cannot fraternize with the guests of the hotel, and then she did exactly something wrong. She did what they told you can't do.
There used to be laws that women couldn't vote to. A lot of people have bad
this
laws.
This isn't a law. This is a policy of where you work.
I'm saying some things need to be changed to be right.
Do you think because she put on street clothes and then she was on the sidewalk that the rules have changed now?
Yes, I think now she's just a private citizen.
Okay.
Who just happens to be out in front of a hotel.
You know what? You're absolutely right. But when he says, why don't you come up to my suite and let's spend some time together, and she walks back into that hotel where she works, then she is in violation.
I'm not going to let you sex shame this young bartender.
I'm not sex shaming her.
Oh my God.
I am on. I'm team bartender on this one.
Let her have her fun.
So
she went up there. They had a cocktail, and one thing led to another. And then apparently there was some fraternization between client and employee.
Yummy.
She was fired because he left to do a press tour. She remained in his bed. And then she was trying to do the walk of shame out of the hotel. And the manager's like, hey, you work here. And she's like, yeah. And then she was fired. However, she says she does not regret it.
Good for her.
Because of?
Orlando Bloom.
The night of incredible sex. He was an exceptionally good lover. She had an amazing time and his body was very good. According to her Yelp review. She gave him a Yelp review. I don't understand why, but
take it easy.
Apparently she's
and his body was very good.
And the service was excellent. 5 stars. So what's it? Dave knows it. What's it? Vivianna Woods? What's her Instagram, Dave? We should send people to take a look at her so they can see what she looks like. I am Vivian. I am Dave, God damn it.
You think he's paying attention?
Please listen to the show.
You're so cute.
Dave, they really should listen in the other room, shouldn't they, when we're on the air? Shouldn't we get help from someone?
Hey, Dave, could you help us out here?
Anyone? Christine? Muggs? Anybody listening? Are we alone?
He just said, what's that?
I feel like we're on the Lost Island.
Yeah.
Is he there? Dave?
He's looking for our
this is
in the
nuts.
Meeting.
Yeah. This is nuts.
Okay, let's not go to him anymore.
I hate it.
Right.
Today... Anyway, her name's Vivianna Ross. Go to Maxim.com is where I got the article, so you can probably find her pictures there. But she's lovely. And she wants to be an actress. So, you're soon to see her in the next Orlando Bloom movie. Today's celebrity birthdays. Marcy is 58 years old today. New. I can't believe no one from our support team is able to respond to us. No one's listening to our show. Doesn't that bother anyone else but me?
It's not great.
We're used to it, I think.
And then maybe that's the problem.
Let's address that in the meeting after the show,
shall we? Fair enough.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Marcy's 58 years old today. Naomi Campbell's 47. Jennifer Goodwin's 39. Maggie Q is 38 years old today. And wrestler Daniel Bryan.
Yes. Yes.
He is 36.
Yes.
You 36, Daniel?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Today your birthday?
Yes.
You pretty happy?
Yes.
You have a new baby?
Yes.
Is one of the Nikki twins?
Yes. Yes!
So easy.
Yes!
Does it change?
Yes!
Or
is,
that's
nope.
it. That's,
yes!
that's, yes! that's the whole chance.
Yes!
Keeps going like this?
Yep. Yes!
Is there
yes!
a second verse?
No.
Yes!
Same as the first.
Yes!
Okay.
You
right?
Yes!
Okay, good.
Yes!
All right.
That's quite a
yes!
catchphrase he's got there.
Yes!
You can stop playing it, though, right?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour today on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have Trevor Noah, host of The Daily Show, coming in
studio. Trevor Yessa, right?
We have Wonder Woman tickets to see an advanced screening of that, and The Bachelorette Report tomorrow morning.
Woo-hoo!
On all-new Kevin and Bean show.